If you like stuff, then check out the Am I Stuff podcast with Mr. Kelsey Hudgens. He's a fella.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, live from the Screwball Whiskey Studios, S-K-R-E-W, ballwhiskey.com. Screwball Whiskey, tomorrow's stories begin right here. Hey guys, how you living? You doing well? Good, glad to hear that. In this episode, my good friends Brooke Hyder and Jimmy Fuger stopped by to talk about betting, and then we rambled about all sorts of other great fucking shit, great content here, and if you want to hear one of those conversations that it feels like we just slip microphones into one of our normal conversations, this is certainly one of those where you'll get to hear a lot of inside information on a bunch of other crazy shit and a lot of questions that I was asked that I was not asked before, and you get to hear all kinds of things about who I enjoyed having on as a guest, who I didn't. And you're just going to have to listen to find out all this information. And if you'd like to get a little bit of extra content that you wouldn't get in the audio recording, I suggest you go to the YouTube page and go to Kelsey Hudgens and click subscribe on Kelsey Hudgens' page on YouTube. And also Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere podcasts are available, subscribe to My Stuff Podcast. iHeartRadio is actually a podcast is available on iHeartRadio, and all of my singles, my music, the stuff that I've released is also available iHeartRadio, Spotify, iTunes, anywhere music is available. Kelsey Hudgens, MI Stuff Podcast, both of those have content there for you. So please go to Twitter and follow at Uncle Tito's. There's no numbers or anything, right?
It's I don't just think Uncle so. Tito's. I think it's Uncle Tito's. Let's see if I can find it.
Yeah. At Uncle Tito's on Twitter, at Kelsey Hudgens on Twitter, at Yonder Wizard on Instagram, and that's W-I-Z-Z-E-R-D on the Wizard.
And Uncle Tito's is on Facebook as well. You can click like on that.
Yep, Uncle Tito's like on Facebook as well. And hey, Uncle Tito's 69. Uncle Tito's 69, just one, right? That's the one right there, right?
That's us, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just Uncle Tito 69, and those are numbers.
Imagine that.
Our pin tweet. I don't even know if it's a pin tweet, but it's the last tweet was, "Be more like a dog, Coach Bennett."
Oh God.
But anyway, I'm gonna go ahead and let you guys get out of here and go on and live your lives. But follow Uncle Tito 69 on Twitter. Kelsey Hudgens on Twitter, Yonder Wizard on Instagram, W-I-Z-Z-E-R-D at MI Stuff Podcast on all platforms of social media, and MIStuffPodcast.com. Please click subscribe on the YouTube page. If you guys want to download any of my singles, then search anywhere music is available, iHeartRadio, Spotify, all over the place. Just anything, any place where there is social media, type in MI Stuff Podcast or Kelsey Hudgens, and then follow or subscribe. Whatever button pops up to prompt you, do that. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and let you get on with the episode. So without further ado, episode number 177 of the MI Stuff Podcast. Enjoy, motherfuckers. Oh, let's cut that metronome off. If you want to hear that extra little bit of content that you didn't just get, please go to YouTube and subscribe to Kelsey Hudgens so you can get that. But I'm here with Brooke Hyder and Jimmy Fuger. Brooke Hyder from the very second ever episode of this podcast ever.
I'm honored to be invited back here.
Well, it's been a long time coming.
Is this only a second time, though?
Well, I think so.
I listened to it one night driving back, and it sounded like y'all were at Tito's and y'all were having a good time, and y'all just came back.
Oh yeah. That's what happened for sure. That was like episode two.
Yeah.
Long time ago. Yeah. But Jimmy's for sure been on.
I've only been on twice.
Since.
Yeah, I've been on twice.
Well, and then you were on the couch with Beckwith too. So.
Well, easy. While Beckwith was doing a show.
Oh yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah, not with Beckwith.
You were on the couch with. You know, the people know what I meant, yeah. Right? But anyway, I've been somewhat facetiously saying,
in the intros lately that my good buddy Norm MacDonald, but Norm has blocked me on Twitter.
I'm sure. You know, he's got like a million followers, doesn't he?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's got a shitload.
Let me go check this out. But I'm sure he's got somebody that handles his social media.
Yeah, I mean, he did that cameo video, and I thanked him for doing that. And on Twitter, I thanked him for doing that, and I may have sent him a message in appreciation. That was it. Like, it wasn't like I'm sitting here like, hey, man, like, hounding this person. Like, I'm not doing that. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing that. And I didn't all of a sudden, I'm like, shit, bro. What did I do? Like, I see somebody post something on, like, a screenshot of one of his tweets. And I was like, fuck, I would have seen this. I follow Norm. He's one of my fucking favorite comedians. So I go and I search Norm MacDonald. And it says, sure enough, Norm MacDonald has blocked you.
Yeah, I can't even get. I'm on your search engine here, and it can't even come up.
I mean, he's got to have over a million followers for sure.
Oh, he does. He does 1,000%. Man, but I swear to God, I'll go right here, and I've got several different Twitter accounts because of like the podcasts and bands. And
has
stuff.
He blocked all of them?
I thought you were going to say because of Norm.
Just one. No, not because of Norm. But yep, right there when I search him, Norm MacDonald has blocked you. Is exactly what it says, but.
Oh, I found him. He's got 1.08 million followers. Somebody's handling his stuff, and they blocked you. They deemed you a risk.
There's got to be a reason, though.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. I don't get why. I don't get what I did. And I've tweeted other people to like tweet him, be like, ask like hashtag Why did Norm block me? But yeah, surely Norm isn't a tech savvy guy. He probably just sends someone a text message.
You know, he's looking, and I saw him cut your thing. He looks homeless.
He doesn't dress up at all anymore for anything. He's doing like red carpet interviews in like hoodies and fucking sweatpants. Have you seen that shit? Mm-mm.
And he looks like he's living, I don't know what. He cut his thing in the same spot where he's terrible. At. Yeah, and he needs a shave.
Yeah, he does.
Well, maybe we shouldn't talk anything if we ever want to get him back on Twitter. Yeah. That's a campaign we could get.
Yeah, get Twitter, get Norm back.
Yeah, maybe he can get back on. But I thought he did a good job on your thing. I thought it was funny. I got a good chuckle out of the fella.
I did too. I thought it was hilarious. You know what? I'm gonna bless y'all with something over here, and help you out so you don't have to slide that computer around no more. Because I'm pretty sure, if my memory serves me correctly, I have that computer tied to this television.
So you've turned this into just an entire studio.
Yeah.
Your life, it's this podcast.
Yep. It looks good. I mean, it looks professional.
So if I look up something like, what is it, redtube.com, it's going to pop up on that thing?
1,000%.
Ooh.
I wouldn't do that.
I'm glad because I have it.
You know, my wife might tune it in, so definitely wouldn't do it.
Yeah, well, you know, what can you do? So anyway, we were talking yesterday. I went to watch the Braves game at Tito's. And me and Brooke were talking about, man, we should do a betting talk. A podcast about betting. And I was like, yeah, well, I don't bet. I advise. That's right. I advise. I don't bet. But I was like, well, shit, what are you doing tomorrow? I was like, this is how most of my podcasts come about, is we talk about, hey, man, we should do a podcast about this. Cool, what are you doing tomorrow? And that's where this came from. So we got up with Jimmy, and I don't know, like, there's not a whole lot of things that we could talk about in the betting world that you probably have not experienced or gone through or done, like, big bet, big, like, you were talking about a big loss you had or something like that.
Are you taking this like in the bad beats variety?
Well, it's just like little everything, you know.
Well, that was just one
in different stages in life. Well, and betting.
It seems like bad beats are what you remember the most. Like, Jesus, I got fucked in that Detroit game.
Yeah,
Brooke and I were in Atlantic City one week, and we had a pretty decent sized parlay on something, and we needed the Lions to beat the Cardinals. And at the time, the Lions were up 24-3.
A bunch.
And Wes was in on the bet with us. And Wes said, we got this. As soon as this game ends, we'll collect. And it was like almost in the fourth quarter. And I was like, don't count this before. We're talking about the Lions here.
Yeah.
And damn it if they didn't nut up and lose. No, they tied.
No, they did tie.
Yeah. So we still won some money, but it cut it in half because it was a parlay and because we had them even. It's just instead of having four winners on the parlay, we had – I think we went 2-0-2 or something on the parlay.
But a tie is a win. You got to take that
too. A tie is a win. So let's pretend that there are listeners that absolutely know 0% about betting. So when you make a bet, you can take that bet and you can tie it to another bet. That is called a parlay. That's where the money is, if you ask me.
And typically with a parlay, like 2.5 to 1?
On a three-team parlay?
Yeah. It's right? 2.5 to... Maybe, I thought it was 2 to 1. Well, I don't know. You win more. Your odds are a lot higher.
And, but you have to win every bet.
Yeah, so...
Every team has to win.
That's what makes it fun, though.
So...
The thing about gambling is typically if you go 500, you lose money.
Yeah.
So you have to win on the average person that's gambling... has to, you know, win 55% of their games, or 52%, I think, is what the number is, to actually make money or to break even.
Yeah.
So the house has the odds.
Always. And they always will.
And they always, at some point, will get you. If you play that long enough, if you gamble long enough, if you do everything long enough, eventually you're going to get, how can we say, we're in a podcast, we can cuss.
Fucked.
Fucked, yes. Something bad's going to happen. You're going to have some good weeks. You're going to have some good weeks. And then there's going to be that week where I can't lose all 10 of them. And damn if you don't lose all 10 of them.
Yeah. I remember one time we did we parlayed like UCF. Or not UCF. TCU and the over. That's always our parlay is TCU and the over. And it was that shit. It was like 2 or 3 years ago. And it came down to a random ass field goal. And we were standing there. I don't know. It was like me and Adam. So Adam bets like, what, $10 all the time. He'll bet like $5 and $10.
Yeah, you put $50 on the game and Adam, give me $11 of that.
Yeah, exactly. I'll put 11 to win 7 or whatever the fuck it is. And yeah, so these little tiny games. But this was like a $10 bet to win like, I don't know, a couple hundred bucks. So we're pretty excited about that. But outside of that, I don't ever fucking touch betting. Yeah. I will, like, if somebody calls me and asks me what I think about a game, well, I'll be happy.
Here's my philosophy on betting. Now, Brooke might feel different, but I'm a little bit older than you guys. And I used to roll it. You know, I'm married late, kids late, everything late. So I had a long, good run as a single man.
Yeah.
I say all the time that I won't go through a midlife crisis because I basically got married at the end of my midlife. You know, at the beginning of it. So, I mean, I have friends that got married when they were 22, 23. And when I got married, they were married for 20 years. And a couple of them have gone kind of crazy. It's because they didn't, you know, I had fun. I had a good run. I'm having a great run now, too. Don't get me wrong.
I'm in the middle
of
the record.
Yes, I'm having a great run. But there used to be a time where if somebody would say, hey, man, Prince is playing Vegas. What the fuck? Let's go. And it'd be a Wednesday. And we'd be on a plane Thursday morning. And it would be in Vegas Thursday night. And we would go to those shows. And there'd be times where... I knew that any hotel I went to in Vegas, I didn't have to pay for anything because I would just roll it big. And then 2008 hit, and when the economy went to shit, I lost so much money, or I just saw how much people lost money.
Yeah,
that I just stopped rolling big. I just couldn't do it anymore. I couldn't gamble, and I started worrying about saving. It's boring, and I still gamble, but I'm talking about I used to go in and do the $200, $300, $400 hands of blackjack and stuff, and now if I put – I sit at a $25 table, and I can still get on a run sometimes and push it out, but I have to roll into that run. There's no going in. You know, I'm bringing $10,000 to lose. Those days are over.
Yeah, well, you got a lot of variables there too.
A lot of variables,
If you look down at a stack of chips and you say – I can lose all this and it doesn't really matter. Or I can say it's going to my kid's college fund.
It's a responsible thing. But I had a lot of fun and a lot of ups and a lot of downs. And then it was a good time, man. And I'll tell you, it was a lot of fun. I just can't do it anymore. And I got a wife.
So am I just living that right now then?
Yeah, you're living it right now.
I'm Jimmy then.
I'm in that. But I'm of the church too that I'm going to do the same thing. Marry late, kids late. I'm doing that. I'm like living my life right now because I can sustain my life living in this in this hallway. You know, like I'm fine with this right now.
Well, you know, my wife always says to people like Jimmy's a disciplined gambler and blah 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 and this and that. Like when we're sitting in a black, because she's. But it didn't just happen overnight. Yeah. I mean, I used to be wild. Man, I lost 8 hands. Fuck it. Here's number 9.
Yeah.
And then I realized you can lose a 9th hand in a row. So,
right.
So now when I play blackjack and stuff, I wait for the run. It's, you know, 25, 25, 25, 25. And then you can feel the run when it happens. And you might not necessarily always make money, but you won't get your ass kicked.
Now this isn't like MIT's scientific mathematics stuff.
Yeah.
It's the feeling.
Are you sure?
Positive.
Pretty positive. Yeah, well, I know him and I aren't counting cards.
No.
Let's put it that
but
way.
But you're smart enough to know if you see a lot of twos and threes and fours, you know there's going to be tens right. coming.
You would think.
Yeah.
You would hope.
And stick by the book. That's my other thing. Yes. If you
got to stick by the book.
Stick by the book. Don't go in there and, hey, guys, I stay on 16s.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, get the fuck to the $2 table.
Got
to
go.
And go have fun.
Got to go.
You don't. If you're at a $25 or higher table, you should be playing by the book. Because I have chased people off. I mean, Brooke's been with me. I got no problem saying somebody playing like an idiot.
Are you surprised by that?
Not at all. Okay. Not at all. I know you well enough to know that if anybody needs to hear something, you're the one to say it.
Well, that also comes with age.
So what's the best win you can remember, you think? What's your biggest win, you think?
You know, I don't know. I was trying to think. Well, you told me about stuff like this coming over. I do know that one time I went to Puerto Rico, and I couldn't lose. I was at the, I think it's the El San Juan or whatever in San Juan, and it's got a casino there. And I went in there, and I just like had a couple of hours, and I think I walked out of there up $7,500. And I mean, granted, that's not the most, but when you go somewhere for a couple of hours, I just couldn't lose. I mean, every double down I was hitting – you know, and everything. And then, you know, when I was talking about being on that run and pushing it out, and I won. But I will tell you, I can remember the losses. I remember one time staying at the Hard Rock in Vegas, and I brought like $2,000 or $3,000. And this was before I was making money. I was probably 29 years old.
Yeah.
I lost it in about a day. And I could have bet you the sun was coming up, and I would have lost.
Shit.
Yeah. Yeah, that's when I learned. That's when I learned.
Sometimes it's not your day.
That's when I learned that you can always lose it. Yeah. The next hand's a new hand, and you can still lose it.
Mm-hmm. What about you, bro? What was your best and worst?
I don't know.
You told me about your worst the other day.
Yeah. I'll have to, you know, use different names.
Well, but hold on. But when you're saying worst, you don't have to say a number. Just at the time when I lost that $2,500,
it was
a shit ton of
so
money.
That's what I was going to make my point. There have been stages, and I mean, I'm not super old, but there's been stages in my life throughout college. Yeah. Well, I started gambling when I was 13. The golf course that I worked at.
I went to Catholic school, too. I was like him. They teach you how to gamble. It's like
the first thing's gambling. The second thing's beer, but they might be
is
at
that
the same
real?
Time.
They teach you how to play cards?
It was pretty... bet on games, you know?
Listen, man, we were...
Anything.
I started betting when I was 14 years old. And granted, it was like somebody would call and we'd know a bookie and, hey, let's split 25. That's right. I mean, it wasn't a ton of money.
It was old school. You couldn't log in. You had to call somewhere and, you know, use a password, like...
No, yeah.
Purple elephant.
Yeah, this is you'd call in and you'd give you a number. Hey, number 69, I'd like to bet. And you'd have a book and the games would be numbered.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, what's the spread on 13? And then, because it'd be game number 13.
Yeah.
And then you would have 13, would have team 14 and 15 playing in them. And it'd be 14 minus 5. And you'd go, give me 15 in the points. It was all numbers.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But, you know, it depends on, you know, what point in your life and you're betting and how much you're betting and what you can lose and what you can't lose, you know? And I know Jimmy and I have probably been both at a point where...
Yeah, well, I almost got busted once. I mean, I got caught, speaking of that on tape, I was probably 27, and at the time I was living in Savannah, and I don't mind telling the story.
Yeah.
And if it's long, I'm sorry. But I was betting, and my bookie had moved from Savannah. It was a college buddy. He was living in Kennesaw. Well, he was a real bookie. Now, I didn't bet that much money, but I bet enough. And I remember I was placing a bet on the Army-Navy game, and they got me on tape because they were monitoring him. This guy had bought a $400,000 house and paid cash for it. So
that'll do it.
So they put a marker on him. So they knew he was getting money. So they started monitoring him. At the time, I wasn't betting much, but my brother was a Navy graduate, so I just wanted to have some interest on the game. So I bet that game and maybe two others. And I remember I could hear some clicking and stuff. You remember, this is 24 years ago.
Yeah.
And I remember I was hearing some clicking and stuff on the phone. And I was like, hey, do you hear that? And he was like, yeah, kind of. Maybe we're in a bad line. And then literally 2 months later, I was working and two cops showed up at my job. And it was scary as shit. And what happened was one of the cops I had gone to school with came in and he came in and told me the story and said, we don't have you doing for much, but there's all kinds of violations going on here because they had the guy was paying people through the mail. Federal violation right there.
Yeah.
And then they were trying to prove some other things. So they wanted me to come in and testify. And I was like, Jesus Christ, what am I going to do? At the time, I'm working at this one job. I'm coaching a high school girls basketball team on the side. I had Josh Mallard was playing for Georgia. And the last thing I needed was, in my mind, was the media to pick up that I've been busted gambling. Because, yeah. You know, they would run with this high school coach. And,
yeah.
And then it would come, you know, Mallard getting pulled into this stuff. You know, Josh played for Georgia. And so I literally called this one older guy, like Brooke said, that kind of, you know, in this whole community. And I called him and he was like, oh, shit, I bet with him too. I wonder if they're going to call me. And I was the first guy they called. And he said, hold on, man. He goes, don't do a thing. So I told the guys that I called.
Don't tell them nothing.
That's exactly what they said. And the philosophy back then, because now you don't gamble on you don't make phone calls anymore. You go online and do it. So I talked to an attorney. I called another high school buddy that was an attorney, and he said, listen, here's what I would do. Don't say a fucking word. He goes, I'll call this cop. He called the cop, and he tells me everything. And he says, don't say anything. He goes, they're going to have to turn themselves in. He goes, the bookie is. They wanted the bookie to turn themselves in. Well, 2-3 months passed. The bookie never turned himself in. So the lawyer calls me back up and goes, man, you got to go in and talk. I said, wait a minute, I got to be a snitch?
Oh, man.
So
put that kind of shit on you?
So hold on. So listen, so me and three other guys all set up times to go in. And our mind was that bookie's charging us a fee. He's got to protect the players. So since they were coming after, he should have turned himself in.
Right.
Well, he was fighting and he didn't turn himself in. So it was me. I don't want to say any names. Yeah, yeah. And I don't think I've said any names except for guys I was trying to protect, like Mallard and stuff. Yeah. Who had nothing to do with this, Josh Mallard. And so what I remember was me and a guy, we'll call him TW for his initials. We were scheduled 30 minutes apart to go in for our meeting with the cops. So I go in with the cops. Cops ask me a lot of questions. And literally, most of the stuff they asked me, I had nothing to do with. They were looking for like all these RICO things and stuff. And they just had me on for that one game. Which I said, that was me, blah, blah, blah. Signed an affidavit, left. So I never talked to TW until like a month later. I said, hey, man, how'd your meeting with the cops go? And he goes, you know what, Future? I didn't go in. I said, fuck it, I ain't going in. What are they going to do to me? Swear to God, 1 week later, the eight guys that didn't go in, front page, all their pictures, busted for gambling and racketeering.
And not you. Wow.
Not me, hell no.
We're not talking about a whole lot of money here either, right?
No, but I mean, they were trying to do what, and they still they were trying to smoke them out. They were trying to smoke them out.
Yeah,
and so they ended up smoking the guys out. But my buddy TW was working for the county, and for the Board of Education. He got fired. He lost his job. So,
damn, man.
Hey, it was a scary time. It really was, and I just never forget. He was like, that time I talked to him on the phone, he was like, nothing fucking happened to me. All you guys saying, blah, blah, blah. And next thing you know, you see him on the front page, you know, holding that picture. Dude, they squeezed everybody. Dude, they arrested that guy's fiance. Anybody that got money from him, anything, got arrested.
How long is it going to be before that's legal everywhere?
Well, it's close.
There's a lot of places.
Obviously, yeah. Nevada, Jersey.
New York just passed, didn't they?
I don't know about sports betting.
It's coming everywhere because all those states have put it on the docket. Yeah. South Carolina is one of them.
Maybe Pennsylvania. Dude. I could be wrong.
I think Pennsylvania's got it, too.
But
did
Navy win that game?
Navy won that game.
Okay, so you should have gone.
That's when Navy won. Got on that like 21 in a row run or whatever they went on against Army. That's when it started.
Did you ever get your pay?
You know what? I didn't get my money because... We had a philosophy because, you know, when you're betting with somebody, you don't want to go hunting them down. I got, and at that time, it was if you were up or down 200, you collected. Yeah. So if I was down 200, I paid him. If I was up 200, I collected from him. And when you don't bet much at time in football, that was just there was times in football where I bet a ton. And that was one of the years I just didn't bet much.
Yeah.
And I wasn't up 200, and then he went out of business. So, you know what? He probably owes me about $85 if I ever see him.
That motherfucker.
Mm. Yeah. $85 and it's a attorney's fees.
Yeah, no shit. That was a long time ago.
Yeah. So not to mention stress.
And you know, pain and suffering. So how long is it going to be before they legalize gambling here? And Myrtle Beach is set up. They have so many locations that are going to be so good for casinos.
Well, casinos and sports betting are two totally different things.
I know, but I don't think the casinos. I know they've outlawed casinos in South Carolina, right?
I would think casinos come before sports betting.
Yeah.
Here in South Carolina.
But you think one would help usher City. The other one in?
Well, I mean, you would think. They go hand in hand.
Yeah. There's studies that casinos are kind of bad for the local, just from an ethics point of view, but from a monetary point of view, they're good.
Yeah, I was about to say, to bring a lot of money to the area.
Yeah, but, you know, I think there'd be people. I think there's a group of people around here that'd be happy with video poker again.
That 1,000% will be a huge deal.
I think, yeah, a lot of people would be.
Been busted for that, too.
I can vouch for that.
Yeah, and that's not a good feeling either.
Nah.
And Bry got shot out. Turncoat. Yeah.
He did good. He did good. I was there.
He did what you did with the cops.
I was there.
That was months. Bry guy helped him load the machine up and everything. We were guilty. We pled guilty. We were guilty, man.
Like, what? No, man. I don't know, man. I don't know nothing about that.
Nothing.
You know, the way I look at it is, you know, that gambling machine is, they caught us. We were guilty. I mean, there's people, oh, man, the ball's bullshit, man. We weren't doing anything that everybody else wasn't doing. Everybody else knows it's.
They knew what game they were playing.
You know what I say about the video poker? We had a good run.
Yeah, literally and figuratively.
Yeah, we had a good run. And that thing, I don't really like video poker that much. I felt guilty with that machine. But at the time, Tito's wasn't busy, and that kept the doors open.
Dude, I'm going to tell you the truth. That thing had me, buddy.
There's a lot of people you don't see anymore that used to come in. Yeah. Once that thing got unplugged and taken away?
That thing had me, though. Like, I was...
It used to piss me off if I went on the cameras and I would see the bartenders playing that.
Yeah.
Because my philosophy was, you're going to lose. You're going to lose.
Kelsey's included in this.
Yes.
I was, yeah.
But there weren't cameras back then, though.
Yeah, there were. There were cameras in there day one.
Yeah.
We went a stretch where they didn't work and we didn't tell anybody.
Yeah.
But they didn't work. We had one guy that played it too much.
Yeah, he was all constantly on it.
Mm-hmm. Constantly. And, I mean, he'd even, like, there'd be 10 people drinking, and it got all good. Instead of smoking, he'd go pop $20 in. And my thing on that was, I would think if somebody was gambling and they were losing, I'm not saying you, of course, but the bar was going to suffer. Because,
oh, sure.
Because you know what, man, that thing's got to be about to hit. Because that was the one that would try to spell bonus. Yeah. And then if they went through $100, all right, I'm going to sell 7 beers and put it back in there. And, you know, it didn't jive.
That was one thing that the bartenders had the advantage over on everybody else, was because we saw how much money went in it. And we saw how many people walked away from it and what they left on there. And they were like, well, there ain't one more letter left. Right. Good luck to you. And they'd walk out when they spent. I've seen men walk in there. And you probably know exactly who it is. I won't say his name.
Yeah, let's don't say. There's one poor sumbitch that would come in there, and it would be great for Stoney and I.
Entire paychecks.
Adam. Yeah. And this guy does well.
Yeah.
And and I think, older fella.
Yeah.
You know, are we talking about the same guy?
Oh, yeah.
Older than me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, and then there was a couple that came in and they would play it right, and they would sit there until they won, because that's the trick. If you have enough money to sit there until you win, and you'll go up.
Keep telling yourself that. It's good for you that machine's gone.
Yes. Yeah. No, but I've seen a lot of people play it the way that they play it. If you sat there long enough and you like kept poking at it and bet right, You could hit that thing pretty big.
There's an algorithm built into that thing that you're just not going to win.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
You're going to win sometimes.
It's set like 62-38 or something on that thing for the house. Yeah. But man, how long has it been since we got popped? Like 5 years?
Something like that. Probably I was still least. Drinking. It's been more than 3.5 years.
We reopened. How long has it been since the Panthers were in the Super Bowl? Because we got busted about
four years ago?
14?
Okay, so we got busted.
2014 Panthers.
Oh, wow.
We probably got busted late 2012, and it took about a year for the legislation to push everything in the...
Yeah,
and we never fought it, because we had to close.
Yep.
What happened was, it was like 7 months later, they told us we had to close, and then they gave us like we had to close within a year. So we decided to close I think Robert or somebody did the collard green cook-off, and then we decided to close after that.
To close, so, and then reopen on Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah, we reopened on Super Bowl Sunday.
I remember that.
And
goddamn.
See, I never really played the game.
Smart man.
The monkey machine.
That monkey got me. I was just fucked. That monkey got me, dude. I was fucked. But you know why it got me? Because it let me hit all diamonds a few times, all bananas a bunch, all crowns a couple times.
You hit it big one night, didn't you?
I hit it big a few times. Yeah. I hit all diamonds twice. I've hit all crowns twice. Yeah, I've hit all bananas.
It would pay out a couple grand every now and then. Yeah. That was a shitty night for the bar when that happened.
Yeah, a big hit.
But you know, back then I was just so behind on everything. I would just like give the money back. Here, man, I appreciate that. I ain't giving you no money. All right, just take it off.
But I think honestly, that's what I think a lot of people in South Carolina are still praying for video poker to come back.
Oh yeah. Well, and that did so good for like those little gas stations and shit too, like in the middle of nowhere.
I was talking to Graham at Graham's Landing when they had that couple of, remember about 3 months a few years ago, and they had it legalized. There was some type of technicality, and all those sweepstake places were opening up.
Oh yeah.
And Graham was telling me that, you know, he got two or three machines in there, and I'm not going to toss out a number, but he gave me what kind of number they were making a week on there.
Oh yeah.
And it was, I mean, it was five figures.
Yeah, they're still legal in North Carolina, right?
Yeah.
I have a good golf buddy. That was his job. I mean, he made millions.
Well, that's what's,
in cash.
Yeah.
That's what brought Stoney here. Stoney and the Justices brought here was Leroy worked with somebody, and when video casinos were legal, where were they? They were in Santee?
Clover.
Santee. Yeah,
they
Clover.
Clover for sure. But.
And Leroy was the guy's right-hand man and partner down here and branched out. And then they ran and owned casinos.
Oh, yeah. That's probably the extent of my betting knowledge is probably from just hanging out with that fucker for however long it's been.
Who, Stoney?
Adam.
But Adam's smart as far as the way that goes. He understands how the machines work.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He understands you can't beat them, and he doesn't bet too much when it comes to the. But Adam will bitch, man. Goddamn, got fucking killed last night.
So you knew
the
it.
Packers. And I mean, I had a parlay on him. I had $18 to win 70. You know.
Yeah.
You're like, man, get out of here.
Don't even come at me with that.
Yeah. But he is like that. He's fucking. $18 to him. Is like, and he'll win, and you'll think that he's just fucking got 2 inches added to his dick. And
like, you're right. That's him to a T, man.
That really is. He loves it.
Wow.
But no, I don't mind the thought now that I'm a little bit older and wiser, I think, of the machines, the poker machines kind of thing. But because I feel like the government in South Carolina in the past have been trying to like control people's actions by removing things from, you know, but instead of doing that, now everybody just does it illegally, which I feel like.
I mean, you're from South Carolina.
Yep.
So what's the reason, and you've been here long enough, what was the reason why they technically, I've heard two reasons. I heard one, couldn't tax them. Or couldn't get the proper tax on the thing.
Yeah.
And then, two, I heard, like, I'm from Savannah, which was right on the state line, and they had those casinos right over, and about every 2 or 3 years, some poor guy would go over there and leave the baby in the car for 8 to 10 hours, and the child would pass away.
Oh, man.
And I've heard that that's one of the reasons.
Yeah, I never heard that before.
I never heard that either.
Those are all.
I'm sure neglect of family, whether you leave your child in the car or lose all your money to take care of it.
Right. I do remember when I was a kid seeing all the band Beasley stickers on the bumpers of cars because David Beasley was a guy who manned all of the poker machines initially. He was a governor back then. And from what I can tell it was a ploy that people would go and spend all their money in it and they wouldn't. Hey, it was leading to poverty in just certain communities and stuff like that. And I think it was like a fight. It was like a war against poverty.
You're right.
In a way, but you can't control what people are going
to
do.
Well, the people that were losing the money in those machines couldn't afford to lose it.
Right.
And then they didn't need them to put money in the lottery.
Yeah.
Well, that's true, too. Yeah. You know, the education lottery.
I'd much rather lose my money on a video poker machine than a lottery ticket.
Ooh. Yeah.
Ooh. Only because I hate scratching those things off, man.
They're dirty.
Scratching those things off.
We got a good one.
That's a bad story for Brooke and I.
It's a bad story. It's not our proudest moment.
Tell that story.
It's a fun story, though.
I think Jimmy would probably say it best.
So we were going to North Carolina. It was Brooke, myself, and Cole to go play in a tournament.
Oh,
we
got
Cole,
the big tickets in North Carolina.
Every time we stopped at a store, we decided, we started off, we bought like $50 worth of $5 tickets.
Yeah.
Maybe even $100.
In Ahner.
Yeah, it was Ahner. It was before Florence.
Yeah.
And we told ourselves, hey, man, whatever we scratch off and win, we're going to just keep rolling every time we stop. So every time we'd stop, we'd lose more than we put in, but then we'd throw more cash in. And we were up to like $400 or $500 in lottery tickets that we bought and scratched off. I don't think we won like anything more than $25. There were no like $100 winners. And then I'm probably being light on the total. And then, so we got all these things. And I'm telling you, we were in Katie's car and we had that damn silver all shit all shit over everywhere. The place. And then towards the end, so then we start, we get back and we probably got $200, $300 in winners. And we walked into, we get back into town. We go to Charlotte. We play in this tournament. We get done about 6. We stop a few times, have dinner. 4 or 5 other places. We stop at Turtle Market on Merle's Inlet, bought every lottery ticket at scratch off we had.
Jesus.
He wasn't full, but he probably had another 600 or 700. I think we ended up, I think on the on that was dumb we did that.
We got to the point where we were buying scratch off tickets.
Yeah. That was
and
you.
Not scratching them off. Except for the barcode, which is all you need,
scanning them
and handing it back to the lady, as long as someone else.
I think we ended up lost, but there was 3 of us. I think we lost 800 combined.
Shit,
that was stupid.
That was stupid.
We probably literally changed $3,000 or $4,000 in hands and up or down, but I think we lost 800 total.
And how long does it take to drive to Charlotte?
3 hours, three and a half hours.
3.5 hours. How long did it take us to get there? And back, probably 6 hours each way.
Oh, yeah, we were just every scratching. We were so excited at first because we thought we were going to beat the system. We'd go in and go, what we'd do is we'd pick one number, and they would say, okay, there's 33 of those. Like, well, give us all of them. We want all of them. we thought we were going to hit it. We really did.
I know. I've talked to Kuchar before. Kuchar will go in, and they'll buy, like, rolls of $10 tickets. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a $300 buy.
Oh, yeah.
30 $10 tickets and just have scratch parties.
Yep.
Just go in with like a couple people and buy a fucking roll of them and just scratch the fuck out.
We were so excited. We really thought we were going to win. And I think it was like we told Cole there was no Santa and we didn't win.
Yeah. He couldn't believe it. He couldn't believe it.
Cole's the one I feel bad for when I hear him gambling now when he loses, because I feel like we pulled him into that world.
Oh, man.
Well, no, listen.
He hangs out with Adam, too.
I grew up where I had scratch-off tickets in my stocking.
No, I'm not talking about pulling him into the lottery ticket. I'm talking about pulled him into the gambling.
Into sports gambling?
Yeah, I feel like we may have done that.
Yeah.
Come on in. The water's nice.
Is it, though?
Well, when you win, it is.
Of course, you know what? Listen, to me... now, if somebody's listening to this and they're like, Sled, we're not gambling for money. We're just gambling pride and points and credits and things like that.
Yeah.
And, but that's, listen, when we're sitting at Tito's and there's like 12 of us and we all got money on the same thing, it's a lot of fun. And I believe, he'll tell you, and I'm not lying, I believe in goodwill and positive energy.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Let's say there's 10 of us there and we're all gambling a little bit and we all talking to going the same way. Will Hanna is a motherfucker. Mm-hmm. He always goes the opposite of what the room will do.
He will fade us.
He will fade us every time, and he's probably won more than he's lost fade.
Yes.
He will 1,000% do that. He don't give a shit.
Mm-mm.
He don't need to know anything about it or anything. He'll take it.
The one time I was Will Hanna's a motherfucker story. We ought to have a podcast about that.
I don't know. He's pretty busy, guys.
Yes, he's probably playing video. You know what? That'd be cool. We could teach him how to put 2 tabs up top, and he could play video poker while and then listen to the podcast on the second tab.
You mean the casino?
So listen. One time we were. This was years ago, and I'm on the board for the board. And Girls Club, and they had this fundraiser, and they had a reverse raffle, and I bought like 10 tickets, and it was one of those ones where they call out the number and you're out. If they call your number out, well, they were down to the last 5, and I was up one of the last 5, and I did not want to win. I honestly can say that because I didn't want people to think it was
bad look.
It was an awful look. Yeah. It was an awful look. So I was up there and. They were like, hey, why don't we all split it? And I was like, fine with me. I'll donate my money to the club if y'all all want to split it. And one person said no and said they drew the next number. That guy was out. And I said, well, let's all split it again. I'll donate all the money that I win to the club. And somebody else said no. And then that guy got out. It was funny. And then somebody, the last three, they didn't want to do it. And I was the third one out. And the guy that was the director of the Boys and Girls Club at the time comes up to me and goes, I thought you and that guy, Will Hanna, were really good friends. I said, we are, actually. He goes, well, how come he had so much joy when you were voted out? Because he said he was over there like pumping his fist and laughing.
it's a hate only love can understand.
Yep.
Yeah.
You just got
to
know him.
So, but that lottery ticket thing we bought, I mean, I swear to God, we had it was like a novel of them. And he's right. At the end of it, we were so sick, we would just scratch to the thing and we'd hand him back to the guy to scan it.
Or the best places have those little checkers.
Yeah, well, they all got checkers now.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. See, I'll get one $10 ticket every time I fill up in gas, just while I'm filling up, scratch it off while I'm filling up, every now and again. And just about every time I will win $10.
Mm-hmm. Well,
just enough about to keep you going back.
Well, one, I don't know if you remember this, but there was a couple times where we won, and let's say we bought $400 or $500 and we won $200. And we'd pull somewhere and we'd go on the 200, and the first thing they'd say, I can't cash that out. We don't have enough cash in the drawer to cash that out.
No, ma'am, don't worry. We're getting more.
We're not, don't worry, yes.
Yeah. Don't worry about the cash.
We know.
Yeah.
I don't know, but if I hit a big one, and I hit a 250 recently, and that was like out of nowhere. Just one $10 ticket to $250. I was like, fuck yeah, that's good. So for like the last year or two, I'm way up.
Well, let me ask you, are you two guys, are y'all the type of people that, I know, I don't think you are, and you may have told me this, I know somebody else told me, you can go online and find out which one's gotten the big prize.
I will, I'll look.
I'm not that guy. I don't ever look.
I'll look, yeah.
That's the smart thing to do.
I'll check out the biggest payouts. We have one friend that's won it twice.
Yeah.
We had the same friend that's won pretty good, who plays it a ton.
Yeah.
Does he do that? He's got to do that.
He's got, no doubt, 100%.
Yeah, he's a numbers player. Yeah.
Yeah, he plays a ton.
And he does the same number. He doesn't bounce back and forth, I don't think.
Yeah.
I could be wrong.
But he does, like, he'll do pick threes and pick fours and stuff like that, too. But he does scratch-offs as well. But he'll do the same thing. I'll look and see what biggest, what payouts are left on certain tickets and do that. Or if I'm at a store and I see, because I never walk into a gas station with my car, dude. I never really have to stop for gas once every other week. So when I see a new one, I'm like, oh, that's interesting. I'll immediately check the website and see how many payouts are left. And usually if there's five or more payouts left, definitely buy that one.
Yeah. I don't know if I have enough,
I'm a Brooke. It's such a spontaneous thing for me to buy one. And I don't know if I, takes the fun out of it.
Yeah, well, I will notice one thing, too, is that when I look and I see that big payout is still out there and I buy that ticket, I'm like, this could be it.
It could be
the That's the problem. Right. That's where the problem lies is because you're like, this could
be
it.
I got to get over there and get some of those Carolina crosswords.
Yeah. Fuck those $3 tickets, man. Yeah. Well, it's a $10 ticket or nothing, because, right, what are you going to...
Yeah, you don't want to... I love it when people, like, it's a $2 million lottery. Fuck that, I ain't paying for $2 million. Like, you wouldn't be, like, shitting in your pants if you won $2 million.
Right. Absolutely.
$2 million is a life-changing amount.
Yeah, it is. But I don't know, but like a $1, I don't know, those $5 tickets, some of them have a pretty good payout, which any payout I'd be fine with. I'd be fine with $1,000.
I typically play 10, but I don't ever play anything less than 5.
Less than 5 is pointless. Those $3 tickets are fun if you got a crowd of people and you just want to play those crossword things to kill time.
Have either one of you ever filled out the back and stuck a stamp on it and sent it in?
No. I haven't even read the words on the back of it.
It's $1 million. You can win, or $10,000.
Well, there you go. So that's why those odds are even better for them, because not everyone's doing it.
Yeah, well,
For a lot of people who do it,
I thought the same thing. Do you remember the it wasn't a Mega Millions. That's the actual lottery thing, but it was like $1 million ticket or something like that. It was called It was called $1 million ticket.
Are you talking about the golden ticket that got you to the chocolate factory?
Yeah, that one.
No, I don't remember
that. Golden ticket. But no, there was $1 million ticket, but you would have you could enter your serial number of that ticket into the website, and it would enter you for a chance to win $1 million at the end of the week. They gave away $1 million at the end of every week, and that went on for like 3 or 4 months. Mm-hmm. And I was buying a lot of those tickets back then. like entering them, the serial numbers into the thing. Like there was, I had 20 or 30 of them that I'd entered into this over the course of a couple months onto this fucking website.
Well, see, but now you see my point. You're addicted almost. You're playing this thing and you're not.
Yeah.
But you're not going to win.
But you're not allowed to play video poker.
Yeah, right.
But you sit here and go online and get calculate the best odds. You can do whatever. That's but right. You can't play video poker.
Yeah.
So
100%.
So the state just picks and chooses. You know when you can do it, and the state. And I love South Carolina. I love the taxes. I think they're very friendly here. But it also bothers me for getting in the bar business. How you got to pay more for a Sunday when they separate God and state. You know, you can't teach can't teach religion in schools and whatever, but I got to pay more for a Sunday license.
With the blue laws or something?
Yeah, I got to pay more for a Sunday liquor license we do than we have to pay for the Monday through Saturday liquor license.
Yeah, that makes no sense.
Makes no sense. And the Monday through Saturday liquor license is good for 2 years, and the Sunday license is good for 1 year, and it costs more than double the price of the other one.
Yeah, that's some bullshit right there, man.
It's bullshit, man. It's just however you can do to tax people.
The woes of a successful bar owner.
I wouldn't call it successful. Moderately successful.
Hey, listen, we are Uncle Tito. Torso, head, and shoulders above where we were when I was there.
Hey, we'll be 10. We'll be 10 in December.
Yeah,
can
man.
Can you believe that? 10 years old.
That's insane. That is an insane thought. That is an absurd thought.
I've told you what I want to do, but I think it's going to piss too many people off, so I'm not going to do it. I wanted to do a Tito's t-shirt where the guy with the tiki is like, we're 10. Yeah. And then on the back, every bar that's been near us, it's closed. Have the name and then a line to it. But then I thought, you know what? If I had a bar and it closed,
it'd
be kind of shitty.
Yeah,
you know?
That'd sting a little bit.
It's funny.
It's hilarious, it for sure.
Funny. Yeah.
But man, I don't know, man. There was just the day that it all changed, the day that we walked over to Short Bar and grabbed those chairs. That was the day it all changed.
It did. When they put all that shit out front because they were moving out, and then he and I went and took it.
Yeah, we were like, oh shit, we'll take. We took those awful fucking blue and white checkered chairs.
The kind of you were wearing short pants. They left lines in the back. Yeah,
end.
Yeah.
What were they thinking? I don't know, but you know what? We didn't care because we were just. I know that this is probably, I don't know if we should even say this, but I think both of us that day were just going over there in a gloating manner and to be like, you know what? We are still here and we're going to take.
Well, okay, we started making now. A little bit of money when they were open because they would get so many people. That place was busy.
Yeah, very busy.
They would
busy.
Get so many people there. And
we were their overflow bar.
Yeah, people got sick of not waiting for drinks and they would come over and it was enough for us to start making a little bit of money. But when they close down, oh, that's not me.
No, this is coming through my computer.
What up?
Oh, everything's linked.
Oh, so that was it. And then, did you ever hear the story when we first opened the bar? How we got a lot of our stuff?
Wasn't it?
I don't want to say the name of the place because it's been 11 over 10 years since we've done it. But a certain big bar over here was closing down.
Yeah.
And I called the guy that was one of the owners because through the radio station, I was like, hey, man, listen, you know, I know you're closing down because he was a client and a friend. And I said, can we buy some of your stuff used? He goes, dude, we're gone. He goes, but I'll tell you what, we left a side door open and they don't know we're gone yet. So Stoney and I took the bread truck over there. It was Stoney, Adam, myself, Chris Clark, and Romello. And we were like, it was like we were in the stealth of the night. We took the bread truck. He goes, the side door's open. Just go late at night. There's all kinds of shit in that bar. And we went.
That's beautiful.
You never heard that story?
No.
I'm not saying any names of any places. And the statute of limitations is gone because it's been more than 10 years.
Yeah.
And we just went and loaded up on bar stools, booze.
Is that where those awesome bar stools came from?
No, those came from at the
Ashley
time.
Ashley Furniture.
Yeah,
right?
Mark Bridgers had something to do with Ashley Furniture. And he gave us a deal on those things. And I remember he said, hey, listen, man, these aren't.
Do you remember those?
Yeah, I don't know if I do.
The wooden ones with the big cushions.
That big leg right there was off of one of those.
Well, they showed that picture of you trying to do that puppet show online. Those stools were all over those pictures.
Maybe I do. But maybe that was like.
There's one left. There's one left, and it sits in the back, and it's all torn to shit. Yeah.
But, dude, let me tell you.
For 2 years,
those are the most comfortable bar stools I have ever
And Bridgers told me when we bought them, he said, these are not commercial. And I was like, oh, man, these will be fine. We won't be open long enough for them to be.
Yeah.
And slowly, 2 years into it, it would just be leaning. And then.
Well, I don't know. I remember for a long time, when I was still not complete and a complete alcoholic yet, and I gave a shit still a little bit, I would like flip them up and tighten those motherfuckers up.
Yeah, they
about once every couple of weeks.
So Scott Todd put those things together, and he would do the same thing.
Yeah,
we had a good run with those things. We really did. I would buy those again, even if they'd lasted 2 years.
They were so good.
But the ones we got now from Price Refrigeration, they're $59 a pop, and they'll last 5 years, but the other ones were 100 and lasted two.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, the good people at Price Refrigeration.
Hey, those are good people. If you ever open a place, you need to meet him. I mean, that's
absolutely.
Go see Daryl.
Yeah, he doesn't gamble at all.
And they're kind enough to.
Yeah, he won't be interested in this show.
But they're kind enough to allow me set up this studio in there. In one of their apartments.
No, Daryl's a good dude.
Daryl has like a monopoly around here.
Oh, yeah.
It's
a compound, man.
Doesn't know those houses right over there? He owns
minus,
a bunch of those.
Yeah, minus right that house on the the house on the corner. Everything else is this whole block.
And the car wash, too.
Yeah, car wash, too.
Yeah.
So he's those two on the other, the duplex on the other side, I think.
Yes.
Of the apartment building on the other. Yeah.
Maybe the king of the inlet.
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, like
he's sharp when it comes to that stuff.
I like Daryl. He's a good guy.
Daryl is a great dude. Listen, I love Daryl and Lisa Price so much. They have, like, in times when I did not deserve they were good to me.
Listen,
here,
when Tito's was struggling and I was digging in my pocket, or we were digging in our pocket and we were keeping it open, there was times where the freezers, that story I was telling you about, both freezers we pulled from that place and brought them. You remember how shitty those things were?
Oh, yeah.
And they started crapping out and going out, and we were finally like, we got to go get these things. And Daryl's like, you know what, just get them and pay me back. You know, he knew we were going to pay him.
Yeah.
But he didn't make me pay him like that day. Because I always got to pay him out of my pocket. And he goes, just write me a check for half and then give me the other half next month, you know?
Yeah.
That kind of, you know, and that's a great, good dude.
Great people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if I'll do that for everybody, but. But he did that for us. And you know, and at the time, you know, we were putting so much money out of our pockets back into the bar to keep it open. I mean, there came a day where we almost closed it down, which we've told that story on here before. Yeah. Thank God we didn't.
Right. Because, dude, that time was just right at that peak moment where everything was teetering, and you couldn't tell whether it was gonna like take off or fall over. But we were having to have Mark come in every day and either mess with the fucking ice machine or the
coolers. Oh, that
ice
machine we had was terrible.
That ice machine was a nightmare.
Remember, for a while, if you were opening the bar, you had to bring 3 bags of ice with you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we didn't have an ice machine. You had to go bring the ice.
That was back when I had that Tahoe. I would go and pick up that. I would drive to Tito's, pick up that giant white cooler, and take it to the ice thing and fill that giant white cooler up with ice and bring it down.
First thing we did when we started making more money was we went and got that ice machine that's in there now. And I remember you guys were ecstatic.
Bro, I mean, I still got wood.
I didn't know Kelsey with the Tahoe. I didn't know Tahoe Kelsey.
Anyway,
I don't think
it was usually parked right next to one of your cars that you would leave in there.
I don't know. No, I got that car. I got that car shortly after because my Tahoe just kept breaking down.
What are you driving now?
That little Fusion. I'm about to get.
Didn't you have like a Buick or something for a minute? What'd you have? What'd you get? What were some of your rides?
The only thing that you've ever seen me in was that car in the Tahoe, that gold Tahoe. I used to drive a '99 gold Tahoe, 4-door. Hmm. Like it was just
I don't see you in an SUV, even though you're a big guy. I see you in that.
Well, you're about to here in the next couple of fucking months because
just make sure it's reliable, man. Reliable transportation is key.
Yeah. I, that's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna just get. I don't know. The car that I'm in is great, but this knee right here, in and out.
Oh man, listen. I drove a company. The company, you know. I remember when they handed me Florence as a market, and they were like, "Hey, you got Florence, and we're gonna give you the car. Here's this 2008 Ford Edge."
Yeah,
and Ford Edge is that's not a big man's car.
No,
not at all. And half the time I get in there, I bump my knee on the. I just got sick of it.
They called it the Death Star, didn't they?
Death Star was the big black Yukon that I had that you're driving the Tahoe, which is the same version of it. No, that's what they call the Death Star. Mine, they there's no way they called that a piece of shit, I think is what they call it.
Another good story would be if we talk about that golf tournament we went to in Savannah.
Oh, so Brooke and I
have a mini SUV.
So Brooke and I go on a road trip to play in one of my high school golf tournaments, and I went to a pretty good school, and it's a pretty big golf tournament, and I look forward to playing it every year.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you go back home, you want people to think you're successful. And not, listen, I am not. I want anybody to think, oh, God, he sounds like a douche. He's, you know, I'm
turbo douche.
I'm somewhat upper middle class. That's what how I prefer. I'm not rich, but I'm not poor. But I will say this, I'm self-made. I mean, you know, everything that we've got, you know, we went out, and, you know, as a family, we did, and we've worked our ass off to get to the level we're at, and we're proud of it. But it could change tomorrow. But so Brooke and I are going to Savannah. And, you know, when I was in Savannah, and my work ethic comes from my parents. Both parents worked their ass off and this and that. So Katie at the time drove a 5 Series BMW, and I had a Tahoe. No, I had a GMC. Yeah, the Yukon. It was that old kind of silverish champagne color, whatever it was.
I think I remember that.
Shout out to Freddie Hyatt. Yeah, so Katie's car.
I think I remember going and picking chicks up out of the passenger side window of that.
Yeah, so Katie.
Three at a time.
That's at the time when we couldn't, hey, how much are you writing this thing for? And so we go down. So it's time to go down, and Katie's got to go to New Jersey. And she's like, she says, well, I need to take your Yukon to New Jersey. And that's not distracting.
Yeah, sorry.
I wasn't sure if that was me.
It
was me.
Oh, wow. So Brooke and I, so I was like, all right, I'll just take Katie's 5 Series. That won't look that bad, and we'll just throw our clubs in the back of it. Because I've invited Brooke. He's my guest. I can't, you know, make him drive down there. So Katie, right before we leave, she goes, oh, I haven't got my tags yet. And they were like 6 months expired at the time. And she goes, I wouldn't take that car on the road. So I was like, shit. So Brooke and I got to throw our clubs in that Ford Edge and drive to Savannah. And I remember I was getting down there and getting our clubs out, and we were pulling around where they could do it. And I was like, you know, there's nothing that fucking screams success than pulling up to your high school in a 2008 Ford Edge. It was, I mean, it's faded. It's got an old Spider-Man sticker on the back of it.
A rolling teardrop.
You know, you're driving by all the, you know, people you graduated high school with, maybe hadn't seen
the
in
vehicle
a while.
That is literally shaped like a teardrop.
Listen, there's nothing wrong with the Ford Edge. This is an old Ford Edge. Which got a shit ton of things. Yeah. I think it even went when we stopped it. You know, it was
like
just
chair.
Yeah, it was just. There was nothing I was proud of.
Nothing.
You know?
Nothing screams success like rolling up in this car. And I about fell out of the car.
Yeah, I was pissed.
He was pissed.
So.
So yeah, I thought that was.
I think that next weekend I was like, fuck a company car. I'm buying my own ride, because I was like, you know, we took Katie's car and traded in, and we got we have a Yukon still and a Sierra. A truck's a good thing if you don't want to get a.
The only thing I worry about as a truck is the equipment.
Your stuff, yeah.
Well, you can get one of those things and pull it over it.
Yeah, but are those things completely watertight?
I don't know. I don't have one.
Smitty's got one of those things. I could get the cover, that like the pop-up cover thing, but...
I'm talking about the whole cab cover. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. But you know,
Like a camper cover?
Something like that.
But I've got a four-door truck, and that's got to be as much room as what you're driving.
Oh, more.
Yeah.
But the only thing with a truck is, you know, I'm not somebody that hunts or does anything like that, but I do haul a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And the
handling. Everybody will fucking call you.
That doesn't bother me, because you know what? I don't mind paying it forward. It's just like if you're in the mall and you got to park and there's a spot like in second from the thing, like right next to the handicap, it's a bitch to squeeze that thing in there.
Yeah. You know. That's where I'm very lucky. And plus, I get 40 miles to the gallon.
Well, with a truck, you'll get about 12.
Yeah, so that's a big game changer, too.
Like, I mean, you get 40 miles to the gallon.
You got to adjust to that.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Why did you get it like a Prius or something?
I mean,
run a cord through here?
Dude. I'll tell you what, I'm waiting for that. Dude, have you seen that shit that's called like a Ribbert or a, it's like a, they do electric trucks.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a Tesla, but it's trucks and off-road vehicles, but they're electric. they look badass. And it's like Revel or something like that.
Yeah, never heard of it before.
Yeah, that's a, they're tiny.
Yeah.
They're,
you know what I'm talking about?
Are they,
you know,
Chevys?
No. This is like a truck company. Like, it's called Revel.
Somebody just bought one at the office, and it's tiny. It's like an egg almost, isn't it?
Yeah.
The only thing, is, I hate to see you at Coastal Grand Mall all the time charging your car, because I think that's the only place you can charge them. Other than your
house. Isn't that meant for like a Tesla or something?
Rivian. Well, I mean, just electric cars in general.
Yeah.
I think Teslas Rivian. Are,
those, Rivian. Yeah, those Teslas are badass. Mm-hmm. But I saw this thing the other day that was like, Tesla cop car dies in hot pursuit. And then somebody, the first comment was, "I see you, Elon."
That dude's lost his mind.
Dude, he's talking about building a tunnel under LA to make traffic better. He is just, I just don't think there is any room in his mind for impossible. For something being impossible, I don't think there's any room in his mind for that. It's only he hasn't figured out how to accomplish it yet. What's up, Abby? I see you there. But yeah, I don't know, man. Those things are badass. But I was actually talking to the guy that's going to help me, that I'm going to get the car through, and I've told him exactly what I wanted. I was like, man, I'm fine with like maybe like a, I don't mind a little bit of age on something as long as it's going to be legit, and I don't want to lose all of my gas mileage, but I also don't. I understand that to get the gas mileage I want, I'm going to have a car about the size that I've got, Like other than and I could get like an old like a caravan or something like that. But then again, I thought about it. Like, do I really want to drive that? I was like, I don't mind. I'm not worried about what people will think about what I'm driving. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Do I want a fucking van?
No.
Don't get me wrong. We got a good friend who drives a van.
There's a lot of people drive vans. Or something. I thought you were talking like a perv van.
Yeah, like a caravan.
Oh,
like,
well, yeah, we like had different.
You're talking about caravan.
I'm talking about like a Mark III. Minivan. Oh, like an Odyssey.
Well, you didn't say minivan. I'm thinking van.
You're talking like a Mark III with like the TV in the back.
Yeah, no. I'm thinking about like a Chrysler Town and Country or a Windstar or whatever they call them now. I don't know.
No, not this Vans are rocking.
Right.
Yeah. Not this like 1980s with dragons on the side of it and shit. Not that.
No, don't.
I'll tell you what I wouldn't mind having. I actually wouldn't mind having like one of those transit things, like those,
like
those things,
but those things are pretty comfortable.
They're expensive,
but they are,
and they're not old enough.
Marshall's got one, a smaller one,
I don't think they're old enough yet where you can get a real good deal on one.
Yeah, that's the trick, is waiting, because I mean, anytime, I feel the same way, Abby. I don't want to,
what's she saying?
No, unless it's a second car, and then she took it away. That's fine, Abby. I don't know. I wouldn't mind something. I really want a Tahoe again. I miss my Tahoe.
My Tahoe gets great gas mileage.
What do you get, like 18, 20?
Every bit of it.
That's not bad.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I mean, it's just, I think the newer the vehicle, you're going to get better gas mileage if you get a bigger vehicle.
Yeah.
My Tahoe is like a car. It's not four-wheel drive. I mean, it's just like a car.
Well, that's a Tahoe, Yukon, same thing.
Right.
And we have a Yukon, and that's what Katie drives. As long as you change the oil, change your filters and everything, your mileage should stay. And you can find something. I'd go, if you got a Yukon or a GMC or whatever you're thinking of, that's what I would go with.
Listen,
how old are you now? 30?
I'll be 33 next week.
Oh, 33 is a big year, dude.
Jesus year.
Jesus. Belushi.
Oh, Belushi.
Farley.
Farley was 33, wasn't he?
Yeah, 33 and 27 is what I tell people. If you can get through 27 and 33, you're home free.
Fuck, I already thought I was home free.
No, you got to get to 34, buddy.
Shit. We can make it.
All right.
Yeah, but.
Well, if that's the case, if I'm going out this year, potentially.
Yeah, go for the comfort.
Gotta shoot for comfort. That's what I told him. I was like, man, and I don't even mind something as old as like a 2007 or newer.
It's all about the miles, dude.
Yeah. Or just I mean, because those motors that they put in those Tahoes will run forever as long as the oil is changed. Mm-hmm. Like those 350s, I think, that they put in there.
Well, that the first Yukon that I bought, I got 185,000 miles, 190,000 miles before it started giving me. Now, granted, I did all the updates and everything before I started having any problems with it.
And you drive a lot too.
And I drive a lot.
I'm at like 103 or 104,000 miles in my car right now.
That Ford will go too for a long time.
Sure it will. And not only that, it's paid for. So like that's the biggest thing is this is paid for. I don't have a payment for it or anything like that.
Yeah. So I just say once you start having to put a lot more money into it,
yeah,
than it's worth.
Oh right, you know, right, right.
So when are you getting this new ride?
I'm or this trying
new to you ride.
I'm trying to wait until I bought this new mattress in January. Stupidest idea I've ever had, or it was a great idea, it was just bad timing. just signing up to pay for a mattress in January.
What'd you drop on the mattress?
$300 a month from January to December.
Sleep Number?
No, it's it's not. It's the brand under the Best brand, the first one down. It's got like a gel cooling top, and then it's got
is memory it worth foam. It?
Yes, it is, but fuck, man, just $300. And that $300 isn't a lot of money.
But it's like a lifetime warranty on it, isn't it?
Well, yeah, and this thing will get me through, what, 15 years probably?
Well, we bought about a year and a half ago, we bought one of the Sleep Numbers, and it was kind of pricey. Katie hates it, and I like it. So,
well, she might just not have the right number.
Well, no, I think she hates it because she thinks it's a glorified air mattress. And I don't. I think it's comfortable. And you know, and it's got the kind that although you look like we look like we're 100 years old when we rock it up. Like
the one's up, one's down.
Yeah, one's up, one's down, or we're both up watching
TV.
Talk
about the golden ticket.
Yeah,
back at
that's know, great.
Charlie's uncle's house over here.
Yeah.
Oh no, but yeah,
we're making payments on it, interest free payments for 2 years, and she just it just pisses her off. She's like, man, we could have got something a third of the price. And but at the time, it was before my back surgery, and I wanted something. I couldn't sleep in the other bed.
It's an easy sell for these guys. They tell you how much time you spend in a mattress.
Yep.
For a day.
But I will say this: we moved twice because we built a house and we sold a house and we had to move into a rental till the other house got done.
Yeah.
So we had to disassemble that bed in between. You know, hopefully nobody from Sleep Number. I think we messed something up. Not me and Katie, but like me and Adam Dellinger. We kind of ripped something up, and then we got there, and I called him.
It back together the way it said.
And that's who you need to do a podcast with.
I want to get him on here, man. He'd be fun.
He would be fun. He knows a lot about a lot. He knows about fixing cars. He knows about hunting. He knows about sports. He knows about movies. That guy is just a very well-rounded individual. But going to him, so we moved that bed. It was heavy as shit. Don't ever move it. You can pay them $50, which I didn't know. They'll come and move it for you. So from now on, that's what I'm going to do. So when we moved it, we messed something up. And they mailed me a new compressor, came out, fixed it, didn't charge me a penny.
That's good of them.
Yeah.
So. I bet that the good people of Mattress Firm isn't going to be so nice to me if anything ever fucks up on my bed. But it's worth it just because it has that gel cooling top that keeps like...
But they have all that. They have all that with Sleep Number.
Oh yeah, for sure. I'm assuming that this mattress company stole. It's like Beauty Rest, I think.
They all do the same thing now. But we just bought another mattress. We had a bonus room that we never put a bed in, and I just went over there to Bed Man, bought something from Joey Epperson.
Yeah,
it was quick, delivered the same day.
Joey works at Bed Man.
Joey, I think, is the general manager at Bed Man.
Well, I'll be damned. I did not know that he was the Bed Man.
He'd be a good guest. That dude's funny.
He cut his hair, man.
I didn't know. I guess I didn't know him.
So
long
he's
hair.
Not funny now.
Oh no, he's good. Yeah. No. He used to have giant ponytail like mine, man.
All right, let me ask you this. If we ask you a question, will you be completely honest?
Yes.
All right, if you had to name at the top, how many shows are you into?
Ooh. Right now?
Just guess. Approximate. We won't name. Again, 150?
Oh, right now?
Yeah.
Oh, 177.
Worst guess you had on is 177. You can give a top three.
You're not going to hurt my feelings. Yes. I'm right here.
Worst guess. Let's see. You know,
This is where we pause for a commercial. Stay tuned for his answer.
Yeah. Live from the Screwball Whiskey Studios.
No, listen, I work in radio, so you got to remember a worst guess is somebody you're sitting in and you say something to, and yeah, I saw it. That's a bad guess. They don't offer anything back. Most disappointing guest. How about we rephrase that? Guess you won't have back. There's got to be somebody in 177. And you can say it if it's me. It's fine.
Well, both of you have been here before and you're back. So this kind of that kind of knocks that one out.
You've had to have a bad guest.
Dude, just to be perfectly fucking honest, there were times in certain things. I don't know. I just feel like I've gained something from every one of them.
All right. Well, let me ask you this. Most disappointing time in your podcast, is it being banned from Norm MacDonald's Twitter?
Not really. The most disappointing time is when I got swatted and I thought that meant that I was further along than I actually was. And I had that false hope that for a second that I was like...
What's SWAT? What does that mean?
When we were live and somebody called the Georgetown Police Department and said that I had shot my wife and...
Oh, shit. You heard that? SWAT? No, I didn't know that.
The SWAT team came through here. They interrupted me and Jason Summers. We were talking about... It was March Madness.
That should be when you make it, though.
Yeah.
Watch this happen live. Is it still on...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I can't believe you didn't hear about that.
Listen, I don't go to Tito's that much anymore.
People die when this... I mean, it was on the internet. It was on Facebook. It's dangerous stuff.
Yeah. Man. Yeah, it really was. I'll say this. This is the most disappointing show that I've ever had. The most disappointing show I ever had was my fault because we had cell phone interference the entire time with the mics, and I let it go on. It was me and Jamie Deluxe, and Noah Byrne showed up halfway through the podcast. And Noah went on this spiel, and me and Jamie were like sort of looking at each other, and like not trying to be like anything towards Noah, but Noah was like just spewing all this information all at once, just like vomiting information, and I was like, I felt like I lost control of the show at that time. And
that's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for, man, this guy came on, he sucked. That's what I'm looking for.
Well, I mean, I don't know because most of the people
that I was Repack. Repack's been on here.
No, Repack has not done it yet. Now, I told him last night.
I feel like what you're trying to get at is you want him to say a name that is probably going to be one of the better ones that would be on the show.
No, well, I can tell you right now, my favorite show that you've done, and I've listened to numerous that you've done, I love the, I think it was the second time you had Wes on here.
Oh, yeah.
And he was talking about getting arrested and some of those stories and being in the cop's car.
That story about the hedge.
Yeah,
and stealing the hedge is the greatest.
And I thought that was a great story. I thought the story that he was talking about, even in today, it's about how he was blaming the Clemson success on Jimbo Fisher's wife for having an affair with the other guy. And, I thought it was a great one. I thought Beckwith was really good.
Beckwith was good. I liked the fact that he seemed like. He didn't mind answering any of those questions.
Well, and that's what's good. You got a guy that had something going on that everybody's interested in, and he did it. Like when he played he saved that recruiting call when he signed with Coastal. He had a call from Gary Gilmore still saved on his phone. Remember he played that on here. It was really good.
Awesome. Where he said we're gonna go. We're gonna win a World Series.
Yeah, he goes, I feel like, and he named all the guys that were like studs on that team, and he goes, with you, and you, I think this is my team that's gonna get me there. And it was Gilmore's
that's a good story.
And then he told a story. Remember the second game they had to win, and he pitched like 159 pitches. It was something phenomenal. Yeah. I don't know if you remember. He said that Bobby Holmes and somebody else were counting his pitches, and whenever Gilmore asked him, all right, what's he at now? They would yell 10 less than what he was at. Wow. And they said that they all knew what they were doing, and Gilmore didn't catch on. And, you know, he pitched like that one game. He pitched like 149 pitches or something phenomenal.
That's insane.
Mm-hmm.
So it was good.
I try to have authentic people. And that's good.
Well, you know, a good thing that you do, you do a lot of friends, and it helps because it really helps the conversation.
I haven't had anybody on that I really disagree with. There's been people who I've had on. There was an episode I did with Brother Steve Blevins, who he said some things about Muslims in the middle of the podcast.
Well, that's when you got to pause it and say, dude.
I don't do that. I'd rather, you know, he just, that's how he is. That's just his thoughts, and that's how,
Well, it's up to you, but to me, I feel like you've got an obligation possibly to save somebody from themselves. They don't realize once you say something and it goes out on this thing,
yeah,
it's out
forever. He said a few things about that I 1,000% didn't agree with, but I worked that out on the show. Like anytime, and then of course me and Smitty have gotten in fights and episodes before, not fights, but just arguing because we don't see eye to eye on a lot of shit. And
I've never seen two guys fight as much as you two and still love each other.
Well, I don't know, man. It's like we got a job to do. We got a job to do, man. We got work to do.
Oh, by the way, Schmidt, if you're listening, I saw you in the line at school texting. That's a no-no, man. He was texting in the line at school the other day.
Oh, man.
You know, if somebody was doing that, he'd be all over TV going nuts on him. You can't be leading the charge against an elementary school and then be texting in the line.
See, that is a big problem I have, not with him in particular. I have a huge problem with folks who will go out and grab their pitchforks and signs against something, and then as soon as that's done, they go and do that same thing they were just.
Yeah, well, I love Smitty, and that's all in fun. When I saw him, I would have texted him, but I was in the line. You're not supposed to text and drive and never text in the line.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Abby asks, can the Rays end up playing the Braves? Short answer, no, because the Rays are playing the Astros.
Next year in preseason.
Maybe. But
what's your thoughts on that, by the way?
Well, yeah, I was actually gonna segue into that. But I think with Folty and Freed, if we get Folty to have a good start and Freed to come in after him, and we can put up we'll put up three runs, right? That's our average. And
listen, here's what scares me is Acuña is, we were talking about it, it's been on base like 12 times.
And not scored, but once.
Scored once, and the only time he scored, he hit a home run.
Yeah. The thing that worries me is that none of our players that you expect to do really well. Donaldson's only had one big hit. Markakis hasn't. Freeman's had one in the game that we lost.
And you listen. This is why you and I were kind of we never argued, but we differed in opinion on Markakis. I thought he hit so weak last year in the playoffs. That's why I didn't want him back and go out and get somebody else. And he's weak again this year.
Yeah, I see that now. I don't know, man. He was so strong in the regular season to where I was like this.
He missed like 7 weeks,
but he was Iron Man until then. Dude, and not only that. I like the fact that he is a veteran player who didn't mind taking less money so that Ozzy
I like and him. Ronald I like Markakis, and I think his story is great. He's played for so many years, and he was an all-star for the first time last year. The guy's got an outside shot at 3,000 hits. And we're talking about guys in the series hitting over, and we can keep playing. But they're not going to do shit if Freeman doesn't start hitting the ball.
Yes, that's 100% true.
And when I mean
true.
Hitting the ball, I mean guy on third and one out, you got to get him home.
Yeah. That needs to happen. And dude, Freddie he's got that swing that seems like every single time if he touches the ball, it could be gone.
Yeah, you know why Brooke's not talking? Nationals.
I thought he was an Orioles fan.
I am an Orioles fan.
Oh, I thought you were Nationals.
No, I mean, I'll cheer for the Nationals.
I was about to say why, around. Because he's an Orioles fan and they had the worst season.
He's from that area. He's from the D.C. area, yeah. So I just assumed. Yeah.
I mean, if I'm going to cheer for a team, I'm going to cheer for them.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to take a money line tomorrow. I mean,
Brooke five-star. Yeah. Well, they're going to be a huge underdog.
Not a five-star, but 1.5 runs.
Well,
they're minus.
So if you lay $100 on the money line, what does it pay? What would be the Vegas payout?
They're minus 144. No, they're plus 144 tomorrow.
Well, the one good thing going back to the Braves is the Cardinals really aren't hitting the ball either.
Yes.
Even the hits yesterday, except for the home runs, were just bloops. And but that one, I can't remember his name as I'm getting older. That pitcher, that 23-year-old they got tossing tomorrow is good.
Yeah.
It's not Flaherty. What's John?
That sounds right.
It's something to that extent. And he's young, and he's just like Soroka, and he's just...
I like Soroka a lot.
Soroka might be available tomorrow to pitch a little bit.
Yeah, no, that's the one thing.
Fultonevich is
our guy.
Just say Fulty.
Fulty,
yeah. Right.
But
Flaherty.
I would rather... Everybody that I talk to is like, man, we really want the Nationals to win against the Dodgers because
I don't play the Nationals.
I don't want to play the Nationals. I'd rather play the Dodgers because we just swept them, three weeks ago?
Well, the Nationals are a lot like us.
They got a good pitching lineup.
Well, but they're a lot like us.
But their bullpen is very weak.
Well, but they hit late. They don't, they can be down 5 in the 8th and they got no problem coming back on your ass.
Yeah.
And that's how we are. I mean, are we, the top scoring team? I say we, the Braves. Are the top scoring team in the 7th and on?
Yeah.
So, I'm a true Braves fan. I'm born in the 60s. That's how old I am, 1968. And they sucked my whole...
Yowza!
Yeah, they sucked my... I'm 51 years old. Still younger than Stoney, though.
He just texts you.
Oh, let's see what he wants. I bet it's... Let's see what it is. Oh, hey. Hey, back. I'll send him.
So he's technically on this podcast now.
That'd be a fucking ridiculous episode.
Not going to happen.
Never.
Nope.
He would be unfiltered, and it would be awesome.
Yeah.
But he wouldn't. I don't think he'd sign up. I don't think he'd do it.
I don't think he could sit down for the... He could do like a 20-minute... That's what you got to do is just tape a bunch of little Stoney hits.
Yeah, I wish I could.
And just have...
I wish I could get him in here where there's no outside... Other than whatever we hear here. But I mean, so there's
here's how you do it. Next time Cam, Micah, Luke Gordon, any of those kids surf, put it on right there.
Yeah.
And then between heats, you get him.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah, I know. He'd have to be somewhere else with a bunch of people. And I don't think he does well in one-on-one type situations.
What about, have you ever had Cole on here?
Not going to happen times 20.
Cole Richards wouldn't come
on? Not happening.
Why not?
Nope, not today, not tomorrow.
That's what Adam said. Adam said the same thing.
I think Cole would be hilarious on here.
I know. I know he would be great, but
yeah,
it's just not going to happen.
Dude, there's so this year coming, and by this year, I mean since my season is done, I mean the winter going forward, I'm going to be getting some trying to get some comedians that I appreciate on here and some people that I've been talking with over the internet and stuff that... Bigger names than I have had on.
Like Sumit Patel?
Dude.
He'd be good.
Sumit would be great. I'd like to do one with him just fucking Skype in. Just fucking... He could stay at his house.
He'd be amazing.
He would be greatest interviewer.
It's like a Wes Standish level kind of interview probably.
Dude, we sent this... we sent this video to... to him yesterday. Let's see this thing. Here we go.
I mean, if it's wintertime and you got time on your hands, drag Holcomb in here.
Dude,
come on, man.
Dude, they actually said that they want to come and they actually want to start sponsoring a little bit. Drop a couple of products or whatever and do some sponsorships. So we're going to be talking to them about doing that too.
Yeah,
but
good stuff.
But he wants to, yeah.
They've got these new, especially with Clean Eats being out. If you're listening and you need some pre-made healthy meals, they're selling these things that they have done by Fridays. They're phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
And one of them's called 212 Meals, and the other one's Be Fit to Eat or something. I can't remember but they're really, really good.
Yeah, that's what everybody's saying. He was telling me about this CBD ice cream that they have.
Not interested.
Yeah,
sure it's great.
Yeah. I'm talking about something you can buy on a regular and not on a gimmick.
Kind of a weekday meal.
Yeah.
The CBD ice cream is good, but it's just,
stuffed crust pizza.
Well, yeah, but it's also something that they're looking to really be this. They're trying to be a wholesaler and ship that out all over the place. You can still go to their place and buy it.
Yeah, yeah.
But the fit meals that they're selling are really... Chris Conklin got me on those things, and they're really good.
Oh, Conklin. Conklin wants to... Conklin would like to do an episode, I bet.
No telling what's coming out of that dude's mouth if he comes on here.
At any time.
I actually texted him yesterday. I wanted to see if he was going to grab a beer, and he said he was in Charleston all week doing his like fishery meetings. You know, he does a lot of this. You know, he's on boards, and I'm not really sure what the whole... You know, exactly what he does.
Do we really know what he does at all? He just...
He's saving the fish. You know, one fish at a time, one harvest at a time. But I told him, I said, listen, if you're at one of these meetings and that Greta Thunberg girl comes in, you know what I'm talking about?
I do.
You got to rip off that name tag and walk out the door, man, because she's going to make you cry. I mean, she's an environmentalist and she knows what's going on. And
but if he's saving the fish, then they should be on the same side.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if she... if she thinks that he's doing all the, you know, harvesting and polluting and all that or what. But I'm telling you, that girl's, I mean, she's bad news, man. She's bad news.
You think so?
Yeah. She's got no credentials. She's got nothing.
I don't even know what he's talking about, but I'm all right with it.
Yeah.
Well, if you watched the thing, you would love it. I mean, she's this, what, she's from Switzerland?
She's the girl, the climate change girl.
That's the one that the bad boy, Alan Smothers, got in trouble for.
The bad boy of sports.
Have you heard about that?
Really?
Go to your Facebook and Google Alan Smothers. Hold on, let me.
The self-appointed bad boy of sports radio.
He lost his gig because of it. Hold on, let me pull this up.
Sports talk. Does he do the sports talk with Smitty and...
Smitty's got a sports talk show?
No. Like, there's another guy, like the professor and Smitty and God, what is that guy's name? I always hear him on Sports Talk Radio talking about the bad boy is Sports Talk Radio, Alan Smothers. But what did he do? I know who he is, but what did he like say something about that girl on his show or something? And
I'm trying to pull it up, but I'm here. Let me see if I can get Wi-Fi in here.
Oh yeah, as an AN.
I mean, the title's local high school football announcer fired after expletive lace post about teen.
Oh, wow.
Gotcha.
The Myrtle Beach guy?
Yeah. The press box.
Yeah.
Alan Smothers arrested.
Well, that's a long time ago. The way he got arrested.
Oh, credit card fraud.
And well, that was, I think he used, it was, I know Alan. I'm not going to talk any shit about him because I know he can say whatever's on his mind. But the time he got arrested, he used a company gas card on his personal vehicle and somebody had a hard on against him. And, are you reading it?
Let's see.
Fired after expletive lace post about a teen.
Yeah, are you Wizard?
Yep.
Hang on, let me see if I can get online here.
Yeah, he didn't say really nice stuff about her. I know that.
He was quite nasty.
I mean, he basically just said that what I said and. Not very appropriate language.
Oh, wow. On Monday, Smothers posted a public status to his personal Facebook page calling 16-year-old Greta Thunberg a Swedish climate activist who this week made a hard-hitting speech at the UN Climate Action Summit, a quote-unquote, a stupid little bitch. Smothers went on to say in the profanity-filled post that there is no 16-year-old on this planet who knows shit about anything.
Keep going. It gets better.
Wow. Okay, I'll read the whole post. No, all right, in all capitals, this is Alan Wayne Smothers of Facebook, ladies and gentlemen. And I don't know, like, I don't know the guy. Jimmy doesn't. I'm sure he's a fine guy. We all have our moments. No, how dare you, all caps, hashtag Greta Thunberg, you stupid little bitch. You're 16 years old. There's not a fucking 16-year-old on this planet that knows shit about anything. Go back to school, learn something about life, and when you've lived long enough to get a job, pay taxes, raise a family, and realize that
adults, in all caps, have lived, learned, and figured out how to run this world. You'll learn that your parents should have whipped your ass and told you that teenagers should never lecture adults. How dare you believe that you've learned in 16 years what climate terrorists have been able to figure out in centuries? No one can tell us what the temperature is going to be in the next 3 hours, much less what you're going to experience with the climate 30 years from now. The assholes who allowed you to criticize them at the UN should be ashamed of themselves for letting a child even speak to adults. Your parents should turn you over their knee. And then in the first comment, it says, "Sorry, I spelled the little bitch's name wrong." Everyone shares, so hopefully she'll eventually see it.
Yeah. And here's
that's the nail in the coffin.
I read some of the replies. Kenny says about Alan, he's always been an asshole. Can someone please explain to me how he had a job doing high school games after all the trouble we got into by stealing? And then Rob, I'm not saying his last name, takes a real man to pick on a 16-year-old girl. Hasta la vista, tool. and then Sean comes in. This guy's always been a tool. Terrible reporter, terrible person. I can't believe there are people defending him. Political beliefs aside, it takes a real small person to call a 16-year-old a bitch.
I agree with that part.
Yeah.
And so there was people all over. But I know Alan, and Alan's harmless. He shouldn't have typed that, though.
Yeah.
But he will not walk it back. I've read a lot of other things. If you go Googling, there's other stuff on it. He will not walk it back. He's owning it, and he's like, fuck it, I'm moving on.
I guess, what else can you do? Yeah, I mean, right?
You lost your job.
No, he had another job. He's also on the air in Florence. They kept him on the air. Cumulus here got rid of him doing that sports show in the morning, and then he lost the HTC gig at night. So his main job he kept, but the other two side jobs he lost.
The bad boy of sports radio, Alan Smothers. I've never understood why he called himself the bad boy until now.
Yeah, they're kind of behind the typewriter, aggressive boy.
Yeah, no shit. So, you know, how do you feel about that? How do you feel about strong opinions on social media like that?
I don't think you should do them. Unless you're paid and that's your job, I don't think you should do them because it's going to come back and bite you in the ass.
Yeah.
Once you tweet something, I mean, look at these guys that are playing baseball and they've done something dumb, like called somebody gay or something, and when they were like 13, 14, and then they get famous at 19, then they're coming back and catching shit.
Yeah.
For something they've done when they were younger.
It's just all impulsive. You know? You need to kind of step back, and if you're about to type something or say something that might be controversial, wait a day. And then see if you want to say the same thing.
I learned at a young age, and like years ago, I typed up an email and I sent something, and it was harmless to me, but it was I typed it, and I'm very sarcastic and cynical.
Yeah,
and I typed something with a sarcastic implication. Well, the person went to our boss, and I mean this was, you know, I wasn't even living here, and I've been here 17 years. And I understand how it read. So now I don't type anything unless I'm sending it to you. I'd send it to you guys something sarcastic because y'all get it. But you just got to ask yourself how it's going to look in black and white. And it's just not worth the fight. It's really not. There's a part of our country that's sitting back there just looking to raise hell. And I've got a job that, you know, in the grand scheme of things, it's not the most important thing in the world. But it'll make news if I did something stupid.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And somebody would be like, local radio GM says this, and I just don't put myself in that situation.
That's wise.
There's things that people do on Facebook, and I'll look at it, and I'm like, what a moron, and I want to respond to it, and I just don't.
Do you send any of those people, like, do you text them?
No, I try not. I might text Brooke and be like, "I'll do that, idiot," or text you and say, "What an idiot!" But
if I have an opinion on something that I don't want to, like, I don't want to have this argument on Facebook, I'll like send a message to this person and be like, "Hey, you're wrong about this, and I want to explain to you."
Did you send Ed Milardo one of those?
You know what, man? You know what? Maybe that woman was just being a bitch that day.
I tell you what, Ed.
Ed
told me the story and started the story off the scene, and I understand his point. But those two girls played him; They type something up.
Like a fiddle.
And then they deleted what they typed up
in the comments. No offense, because you are over 50, but a lot, and you do understand you. Social media probably more than most people do, but a lot of older people, and no offense to Ed, I'm not calling him old, but maybe
didn't
he just didn't understand the reach at that point, his conversation was.
But he's never walked that back. He's never not owned up to it. And you know, people gave me shit because I let him go on the air with like Adam Deltra actually interviewed him on the rock station.
Yeah.
And I let him on the air. Mm-hmm. 10,000 people listened to that on Facebook. Not to mention what we're on the air. We even said, hey, he's going to come on the air and tell us things. 10,000 people listened to it.
But wasn't he apologetic, though, when he went on the air?
Well, that's what he asked me if he could come on and apologize. But he never really apologized. That's something you need to take a note for with Adam when you get him on the show.
Yeah.
About that. He did not want to do that interview. And I was like, Jesus, dude. Max was supposed to do it. And Max
well, especially like, Adam sounded like he does after that rant. But for those who don't know, Ed Milardo is a guy who owns a pizza shop in this area, and he had this rant against Southern people.
And Ed, he's very polarizing,
but he's Ed, and he's harmless.
Right. Yeah, right. Yeah,
like, he's harmless, and I consider Ed a friend.
Yeah, we've all known him forever.
And great pizza, by the way.
And Ed, to one of the funniest things is that day I was sitting at home and I didn't have my computer on, and Wes texted me and goes, Ed Milardo's putting on a clinic on Facebook right now. And I had to run and go get it and go look at it. Oh, yeah, it was something else.
Were you at Sony's little get-together last week at Tito's?
Yeah, I was there.
Did you hear what I said to Ed? Ed probably doesn't know me, you know, but, and like at all. He doesn't know my name. You know, he might know my face if I go in there once in a while.
And if Ed's watching, this is Brooke.
Hey, what's up? What up, Ed? Well, he knows who I am based off of this little comment I made. So Stoney's got this get together. It's like 52nd birthday or 51st birthday. And
trust me, he's not 51. I'm 51. He's older than me.
Okay, well, he's definitely older. He's older than you for sure. Ed pulls up, and I guess he was donating the pizza or doing the pizza for everybody. Yeah, he had this stack of pizzas. I mean, he could barely see over his chin. And he's going up the stairs, and I was like the closest one to the door. So I grabbed the door and I swung the door open. And he's like, thanks, man. I go, oh, sweet, Vienna's. Awesome. I love that place.
Guy used to own Vienna's.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He about dropped the pizzas before. I mean, he looked like he saw a ghost, man. I started dying laughing.
Well, he also used to work at Basil's, right?
He owned half of Vienna's. He owned half of Vienna's.
I didn't know that. I just wanted to say a competitor's name that was close, and I kind of hit it.
And I don't know what happened, but yeah.
He wasn't laughing at all, though.
No, and he – that's – I don't know. Ed's an argument. You know an interesting fact about Ed that a lot of people don't know? He was like a national arm wrestling champion. Like 155 pounds and lighter or something like that.
That's fucking random thing to be ask a champion about.
I swear to God. It's a true thing. And he's
pretty scrappy.
Yeah, he's held some... Ed's one of those guys. I knew a guy that went to high school with Ed like in Massachusetts or wherever they're from. And he said that Ed was one of those guys when you were young. Granted, you're talking 35 years ago.
Yeah.
That Ed was one of those guys you just didn't mess with because he was, you know, farm boy strong.
Oh, man, like redneck strength.
Yeah, yeah. But going back to social media, I try not to type up shit ever, angry.
Yeah, I don't. And I'm not big on, like, throwing political opinions out. Like, I'll if something is funny, I will share it for humor's sake. But I don't think that people need to put out their political affiliations or anything that they feel.
I don't mind saying it. I voted Trump. I didn't vote Trump in the primary. I voted Trump for the election. I wanted to see a change. I'm one of the people. A lot of people don't say much. I'll say it on this show, but I would never type it. I don't think it's doing a bad job. I think the Trump's problem is if you're against Trump and you go after Trump, he fucking needles you until it gets you in a tizzy, and he works these people as much as they work him. But I remember when Trump won the election, I was a political science major in college. He won the election. Everybody was going ape shit because he lost a popular vote, and he won. There's a reason the thing's the way it is.
Yeah.
I mean, because you could definitely go in and win California, New York, and Texas, and boom, you got it. And the other 7 states, and then D.C. can go against you, and you can lose a popular vote. And what's to stop somebody from coming in and saying, hey, we're going to give you all this money and no taxes for the three of you guys, and then it's an undefeated vote, you know.
Yeah.
And then they get the popular vote. So states' rights are well represented in the general election. Well, I typed up this like it was basically a Schoolhouse Rock type thing on the Electoral College. People got pissed. I mean pissed. I got unfriended by certain people.
Wow.
And you're one of those. And I was like, you know what? I'm not typing shit about anything. And I wasn't trying to really get
political. You're just trying to inform people on why the...
Yeah, and listen, if you got a side and you, there's nothing I'm going to type on Facebook that's going to change your opinion.
Yeah.
And so, I shouldn't have put it up there because I was, you know, honestly, I may have been trying to antagonize a little bit and in my subconscious, and I did, and it pissed some people off, and I won't do it again. I mean, there's just no reason to do it again.
Yeah.
And I don't talk politics with people because, you know, I get both sides. But some of these people that are woke, they're fucking crazy, man.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and there's nothing you can do to change them. And those people, you know what I do on Facebook and social media and stuff? Hide. I don't unfriend them. I just hide them.
Oh, yeah, I've done that. I don't unfriend people. But I actually have unfriended a couple of people. I've unfriended people that I agree with just because they're insufferable.
Yeah.
You know, just I can't stand the insufferable people on social media.
Well, the thing about social media, the people that really, for whatever reason, it just gives some people the ability to micromanage the shit out of life. And it's just like, you know, I'm a Georgia fan. Georgia beat the shit out of Tennessee the other night. They were down 14-13 or 14-10 going in the second quarter or something, and then they won the game 43-14.
Yeah.
In my estimation, it's an ass kicking. I got a handful of Georgia fans that think Georgia looked like shit because they were losing at one point of that game. And
yeah,
but you know the spread was 25. They won by 29. They were on the road. I think it's a good win. I mean, how are you going to bitch about winning by 30 basically at Tennessee?
I know, man. Tennessee is garbage.
Yeah, but
how about Florida though? Is Florida because the same thing happened to Florida? Tennessee did the same thing to them.
Well,
they struggled with Tennessee early.
And then Florida beat the shit out of them. That's
yeah.
where depth comes into play in coaching and adjustments.
Yeah.
But see, I'm one of the ones on Georgia. Georgia's offensive coordinator last year is now the offensive coordinator for Tennessee. He kind of probably knew the holes in Georgia's defense.
Yeah.
Came out, exposed them early. Georgia fixed them and beat the shit out of them.
And they adjusted.
Did you watch any of that game?
I watched a little bit of it, yeah.
Feel free to Google the ref getting run over.
Oh, dude.
Did you see that?
There was nowhere he could go.
It looked like Zach Galifianakis in Hangover when they tased Fat Jesus and he just kind of locked up and fell over.
Shit. Well, fellas, this is after 7 o'clock. I know y'all probably have lives and worlds to get to.
Well, this, you know, the problem when you do a show this long is people want to listen to the whole thing when they go back because it's so long, but it's been fun.
Dude, I love doing these things, and I like to get an hour and a half plus. Sometimes an hour is plenty, but I like to get an hour and a half just because you can't capture enough information right. in just a short amount of time. Maybe if you had a point that you were trying to drill down, do like a 15-20 minute talk or something like that on one particular subject. But I like the conversation.
Yeah.
I like conversations, man. I like listening to conversations. I like people having the opportunity to feel like they're in on something they shouldn't be in on. You know, like this is actually a conversation that we're having about.
What we ought to do is you ought to do a show with Brooke, and next time have Brooke come on and talk about who he played golf with. And if they're like asshole, like Bri Guy, is he a dick on the golf course?
I've never played with Bri Guy before.
What about Chicken Mike?
Never played with Chicken Mike. I've avoided that match.
Brooke's done two episodes of this podcast, and both episodes it was a lot of questions and some short answers. You did good this time, though.
I'm not gonna lie. I got a podcast guy and a radio guy here. It's kind of hard to get a word in edgewise every once in a while.
Yeah, I feel like I'm very opinionated.
Speak up.
No, not at all. I mean, you know, it's been fun. Listen, time flies.
You're good.
Time definitely flies.
You're looking at the lights and everything's like, oh man, this is just.
It's like, damn, I feel like shit. I'm in like a Hollywood studio.
Well, the shows you got to do with Brooke is you got to do Masters Preview.
Yeah.
The golf tournament.
Yeah.
Oh.
Sorry, I didn't think about that.
Yeah. No, I knew what you meant, but then when he said that,
I just got to, like, you know, just
you got to go
sure
with
everyone
it.
Else knows.
I'm trying to think what else would be a good golfing weekend for Brooke.
Every weekend is a good golfing weekend.
I think I lost it somehow.
Yeah, there you go.
You got it? Does it stay up? Where is it at? Right there?
Yeah, there it is. There's the one.
All right. I did, we didn't talk about it, and I don't want to go into the tangent because it'd be 30 or 45 minutes. We can do another show one night. I was going to go over what I've been watching.
Well, you can still give a quick what you've been watching. I started Righteous Gemstones last night.
I told you, right?
I started that last night. I got like 4 or 5 episodes in.
You know what? I really wasn't happy with it the first couple episodes, but it gets really good.
Yeah, I agree.
It's like what everyone says about every...
When Walter Coggins showed up, everything changed.
Shout out Georgia Southern, by the way. He went to Georgia Southern.
Did he?
Yeah, from Statesboro, Georgia.
He's funny
as shit, man. He really is. And that show gets a lot better. At first, I really wasn't that high on it because I thought it was really going to just destroy Christians and stuff.
Yeah.
And it really doesn't. And actually, it gets a lot better and funny. Yeah.
Growing up in church, I thought it was very funny. I think it's hilarious.
Yeah.
And then I think Ballers jumped the shark this year. I think it's terrible.
Dude, I watched like 2 or 3 episodes and stopped. I didn't even...
I mean, the fact that he owns the Chiefs now. I mean, are you kidding me? This guy could barely pay his bills and a couple things. And he's got a pill problem and he doesn't have any money. And all of a sudden he can become an NFL owner.
Yeah. I don't know. It's... Last season was good. I'd have been actually fine if they would have cut it off after the whole... We're not going anywhere. We're going to buy this company. We're going to do our company back. We're not going to try to mess with this. We're just going to focus on the agent stuff.
Yeah.
Was that 2 seasons ago or last season?
I can't remember. It's so bad.
If they would have ended it there, I'd have been fine.
You know what's an excellent show? Have you watched Succession?
No.
We just started it. Phenomenal.
Succession.
Started.
HBO?
Yes. Yeah. It's phenomenal.
It's pretty good so far.
It is. I don't want to tease it. We can do, once you watch that and get caught up, we can do a whole.
Okay.
That show is just, it's really good.
Yeah. Okay.
How many seasons is that?
2. They're finishing up. The season finale of season 2 is this Sunday.
Yellowstone's good.
Yellowstone's excellent. That's another one that takes 3 or 4 episodes to get into. Mm-hmm. And then season
that's
1 gets better.
In the Old Montana. West, right?
Well, it's set in present day West.
Okay.
It's set in Montana. He's a rancher.
Brian Jordan was trying to explain that to me, and he said Yellowstone, and it was set in like Montana or whatever. Yeah. And I was thinking that it was set back in like Western times.
No, it's not. It's like modern times.
Okay,
and he's fighting against like the Indian reservation that borders up to him.
Yeah, okay. And then there's also people that don't want to bring casinos. And the premise behind it is he's the largest rancher basically in the country.
He's like a gangster rancher.
Yeah, and he doesn't want all this business open up around his ranchers because then it'll drive the taxes up on his land and he won't be able to afford it. So he's, you know, you don't know if he's a good guy or a bad guy, but it's a damn good show. Yeah.
Okay.
It's great. That's great.
Kevin Costner.
Succession's great. Mindhunter on Netflix. I don't know if you've seen those 2 seasons.
I'm caught up on that.
It's great. Some of the things I'm looking forward to seeing is El Camino.
Oh, yeah.
That comes out Friday, I think.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's going to be good or bad, but it looks really good.
I think it'll do what it's supposed to do, and that's feed the Breaking Bad fans a little more content.
I'm looking forward to that. I'm also looking forward in the movie theater. I cannot think of the name of Adam Sandler's got a movie coming out that looks excellent.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Something about gems or something?
Yeah. Uncut Gems.
Yeah, Uncut Gems.
Uncut
have
Gems,
you seen
dude.
The, have you seen the trailer? Watch it, dude. It looks great.
That and like...
Comedy?
No. It's gritty. And he's supposedly so good in it that he might get an Oscar nomination.
Dude, and he looks like he's actually just... like he's playing a bookie, basically.
Mm-hmm.
A bookie / jeweler. And he's in the diamond district in New York, and somebody steals a shitload of diamonds from him, and he's got to get the money.
It's a movie or miniseries?
Movie. It's coming. I mean, it's coming out like in 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, what I'm impressed is because he's done all of these. He had a huge Netflix deal that I think he still owes Netflix another movie.
He's made some dog shit for Netflix, though.
Terrible.
Yeah, I didn't watch the last one that he did.
The Magnificent Six was terrible.
I thought that was hilarious. I thought it was funny.
And then
it was slapstick.
The one that he did with Chris Rock, where they were the
I didn't watch that one.
The families getting married was terrible.
Yeah,
Dave Chappelle stand up's pretty good.
Dave Chappelle, and you hooked me on the Bill Barr.
That guy, dude,
Paper Tiger.
Yeah,
bro, that one's good. He's got a good podcast too. If you like his stuff, his podcast is great too.
And then another thing I'm looking forward to is Motherless Brooklyn with Ed Norton.
Oh, that's really good. And
The
Irishman.
I think that's a Netflix, though, isn't it?
I don't know.
They're going to release that the first week in the theaters for like 2 or 3 theaters just so they can get Oscar consideration.
Yeah.
That's a Scorsese. That should be really good.
Oh, for sure. And plus, I didn't realize I was listening the other day. that how many, do you know how many minutes in airtime Robert De Niro and Al Pacino have on screen together?
Well, the only thing they were ever in was Heat. And they were
and
only
they were in it for like a couple minutes.
But they were in that one scene in the diner, and that was it.
Yeah.
And then the rest was him chasing him, and they were never in the movie together. So.
And I thought about that. That's almost like putting ketchup with ketchup, because they basically are the same guy, yeah. right?
Well, they were in The Godfathers, and but I guess
but in because, different times.
Yeah, because De Niro played a young Don Corleone. Yeah. He was never in the scene. He was with baby Al Pacino.
Yep.
So. There's a lot of things coming out that I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah, there's a lot of good shit. And I did go see Joker the other night. And everybody's talking. I don't know. Everybody's talking about the difference between the person, like the people's review versus the actual review. Like the Rotten Tomatoes gave it 33%, but viewers gave it 99%. Dude.
But it takes an asshole to get on Rotten Tomatoes and hack into that and ruin the...
I try to watch it just to watch. I don't try to listen to
people. Dude, Joker is so fucking good. It is so good.
I do want to go see it, though.
I can't explain how good this movie is.
This is not my time of year for movies. Now, I'll go see Joker. I've never been one of those horror flick guys.
Oh, I love it. That's my shit.
And I've never been like It 2. Was It 2 any good?
Yeah.
I haven't.
It was better than the second part of the original.
Yeah. So now are they setting that up for sequels?
No, I don't think it's done now. I think it's done. But I read the book shortly after, or audio book, and Audible, by the way, not a sponsor. the second movie like kind of went along with the book pretty well. Better than the original did.
You know, the last movie I went and saw, I'm kind of embarrassed, but I went and saw it.
Endgame?
No, I did see that. Endgame was great. I saw that twice in less than 24 hours, because the one time I went and saw it with some friends, and then the next morning my son wanted to see it, and it was so long, I can't risk him. He can really peter out after like 2.5 hours, 2:40, and I've had it before where he's been like, Dad, let's go. And you're like, no, some minute shit, he's about to fight Thanos, I don't want to leave. And, but he did. He gutted through that one. But the last movie I went and saw, and I'm embarrassed to say it, Rambo.
Oh man,
it's there's nothing pleasant about that movie. Nothing. I'm not gonna say it's bad.
She's beating a dead horse at this point.
But there's just no anywhere it can take a turn and be positive. It goes down shitville.
Well, we're in the age of remakes now. Have you seen the new previews to the new Terminator?
Well, that's not a remake. That's a...
Well, yeah. But I mean, it's like, I say remake, but I mean that we're just making more of movies for nostalgia's sake.
I have not seen it, but I will watch that movie. I like the Terminator franchise.
I didn't mind that. Just having Sarah Connor and like Arnold Schwarzenegger back.
Yeah, and there's a lot coming out that I want to see. There really is. So I don't know when the new season of Ozark's coming out. Have you watched those?
No, I haven't watched any of those.
How about The Boys?
I haven't watched that either.
The Boys is good. Let me just preface this, and you might be all right with it. As gruesome as any miniseries ever.
Okay.
I'm not talking about like slasher violence, but if they can take somebody out, it's not like it's pretty violent.
No, I have watched American Horror Story. I like that shit.
Yeah.
So. The new season of that. That's slasher as well. A lot of blood.
Yeah, so there's a lot. But
Mayans? You ever watch the Mayans?
I didn't watch Sons of Anarchy, so no, I didn't. So
you got to obviously watch that.
I've
watched some of the Mayans. I have not caught up on season one, but it was good. I love Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah, you got
to
kind
of... Is it worth it to watch that show? I couldn't watch that show because there's a character in it that reminds me of somebody that I know personally and just hate, and I can't get over that.
It was entertaining. I don't know if you're gonna love it or
I don't know. It's good. It got a little it's one of those shows towards the end the death count got pretty high.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, so but it's
I don't mind that. I like watching a lot of on screen deaths.
Yeah, but the good thing about Sons of Anarchy is you can binge watch it now. Whereas that was one of those shows like Mad Men or something where they would do a season and then it'd be like a year and a half before another season would
come out. I hate that. That's why I wait until seasons are complete to watch shows.
I mean, it feels like Ozark's been forever since it came out. And Jack Ryan. I'm looking forward to watching that.
Good.
Michael Kelly's in that.
Yes, he is.
Season.
That was good. And Krasinski wrote that, didn't he?
Didn't John Krasinski?
He didn't write Jack Ryan. That character's from Tom Clancy.
But I mean, like, isn't he like writing and directing or producing this show or something like that? Oh, no. I'm mixing it up. He did that with The Quiet Place.
Yeah. He made a fortune off of that. Yeah.
Billions. Have you seen Billions?
Billions is excellent.
No, but I heard Billions that was good. I really like Paul Giamatti.
Yeah, but you'll be pulling for the other guy.
Yeah.
Bobby Axelrod.
Oh, you mean the dude from Homeland?
Yeah.
Yes. It's crazy that he's like...
By the way, did that show peter out?
I think so.
I never watched it, but my wife...
It was great.
My wife watched it, too. And I think it had, because she was like... My wife will watch something for 3 or 4 years and seasons, and then she'll be like, you know what? I just don't like it anymore.
Yeah. Homeland was like that, where it was interesting, and then it kind of fizzled out a little bit.
Yeah, I think I bowed out of that one at the right time. Mm-hmm. I watched about a season and a half or two of that, and... got out.
Yeah, but you pop in a damn Gilmore episode. My wife's right on. You can, you know.
Gilmore Girls.
Yeah, it's like Stoney with a ball of yarn. She's all over it.
Oh, my God. Stoney with a ball of yarn. Well, that sounds like a good spot to break it out with. Well, Brooke, Jimmy, appreciate you being here, gentlemen.
Thanks for having us.
Sorry I'm keeping you longer than necessary here at almost the 7:30 hour on school night.
We were flowing, dude.
We were. That was good. I like that. I love fucking conversations like that. Like, yeah. just like the, like I was saying a while ago, the open form, like long form conversation where you don't have to worry about, we'll get around to
so
that.
So you're going
to
title this ADD Part 3?
I initially called it the betting talk. But I'm going to call it the betting and more talk.
And with an asterisk.
Yeah, and much more
talk. Yes.
But anyway, just in case you skip past this in the beginning, please go to mistuffpodcast.com and check out all the content that we're going to have there. There's a not necessary, but if you'd like to, there's a tip jar there where you can donate some funds to keep this ball rolling. This is something that costs money to do right now. I'm actually going to do that. You know how everybody likes shares, nonprofits and stuff to raise money for their birthdays? Like, for my birthday, I'm just going to, like, share my GoFundMe for the podcast and be like, hey, guys, you know, donate money to the podcast or whatever. I don't give a shit. But no, seriously, it's not necessary. But if you'd like to, that's where you can do that, mistuffpodcast.com. Also, Screwball Whiskey. Walk into whatever liquor store you frequent and ask them for Screwball Whiskey. If they do not have it, they will get it and drink Screwball Whiskey wherever you are. And thanks to Screwball Whiskey for being so kind as to letting me say their name in every single episode as a sponsor. So, screwballwhiskey.com. Tomorrow's stories begin right here. Screwball Whiskey, SKREWBallWhiskey.com. Do y'all both have social media that you probably don't really frequent too much, so if you'd like to follow them on social media,
Do the Uncle Tito's Twitter.
Uncle Tito's on Twitter, at Uncle Tito's.
Yeah, and it says, you can't miss it, it has a bar stool, and it says on the bar stool, the picture of my profile, Wear Summit, with a question mark. I think you did that. Summit.
I like that.
I might have done that years ago.
And real quick before we leave, let's do a show, and we can drink some Screwball Whiskey, and we'll do it at Tito's. We should do a show maybe next Monday, and we'll do gambling before Monday Night Football.
I'm down with that.
Monday Night Bailout show is what we're calling it.
I don't think I got anything.
Take the Rays, money line tonight.
Yeah.
It's not too late.
Money line to Rays tonight.
Yeah.
By the way, Cinderella story in baseball. Lowest salary in baseball. Actually, Moneyball. It's actual Moneyball is happening.
I hope so. At least tonight.
Man, it's the Astros, though. All roads lead to there.
I got nothing else.
I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that.
I don't want to talk because I'll take us on a tangent. We'll be on it for 30 more minutes.
No, I'm fine with that. We'll do that on Monday. We'll do a little revisit. But anyway, I think that's all I got for you. Yeah, at Uncle Tito's on Twitter, on Facebook as well, like Uncle Tito's. Go to Uncle Tito's. Drink alcohol at Uncle Tito's. Go tell your friends to meet you at Uncle Tito's.
Never heard of it.
Never heard of her. But go do that. And, yep, at Yonder Wizard, WIZZERD on Instagram, at Kelsey Hudgens on Twitter, at Kelsey Hudgens on Facebook, at MI Stuff Podcast 1 on Twitter, MI Stuff Podcast on Instagram. Follow all the different shit. Follow all that. Do your thing. Yeah, I think that's all I got for you. So, without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and let you guys get to the rest of your day. So,
enjoy your day, and be a good person. In a world full of shitty people, don't be one of those people. Be a good person. Peace.